United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Let's go! Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
No offense to you, don't waste your time.
Good morning.
Here's why. Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel my voice. And good morning. Good morning.
Clap along if you feel my
voice. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
You must not be speaking to me.
Alabama's on in the line. I see that
Tuesday, you know.
I know it's. Is it? Oh, it's that. No, it's been Tuesday for me.
Well, it ends up in Tuesday.
Well, good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, and it's good to hear you. For those of you who are tired of my song, I just can't help it. You know, I just can't. It is just one of those days that I, you know. It just doesn't. And it's a happy day, so I want everyone to have a good day today. It is the 4th of March, and it feels like the 4th of January still here in Northeast Ohio.
It does.
As a matter of fact, across the country, they tell me, and most of the states, it's a cold snap again. We're having global warming across these states. So I want you guys to understand what global warming now means because, you know, left is right is left, up is down, and down is up. So that's how you do it now. And guess who called in today?
Who's that?
Matt.
Really?
Good morning, Matt for America. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Where have you been?
They freed you up, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. Doing a little remodeling here at the home, and my wife has no plans on letting me stop. So I decided to take a little break and call in and listen to what you guys have been talking about.
Well, today I have a guest that's going to call in in about 5 minutes. He's going to talk about the Pregnancy Crisis Center, and he's going to be here, and that's going to be really, really good. And then I've got another guy calling in at 9:30, and then at 10, at top of the hour at 10 o'clock, we're going to have a whoopin' good time. How do you like those apples?
Don't you know?
So what have you been up to?
Where you at, Matt?
Oh, I didn't. I thought she was talking to you, Jeff.
No. I'm nobody around here.
Well, I ripped my bathroom apart on orders again from the wife, and so I completely gutted it, and it's been going along. I'm hoping to get that done by this coming weekend, and then of course, as I'm laying the tile, my wife looks into the living room at the living room that I painted not 5 years ago, and she said, "You know what? I'm sick of that color." So things are not going to stop over here.
Oh, Lord have mercy, man!
Now, why do you guys say that about women?
Say what about them?
That we would have you guys paint something and then not like the color.
That's what happens. What are you talking about?
We would never
that. She liked the color at first. She liked the color at first. She's just, you know, it's that's old hat color. That was yesterday's color. So, you know, things change around here like bed sheets.
That's not true.
It is true. I'm telling you. You let me put it this way. When we were trying to pick the color for the bathroom, she actually told me, she goes, "You know what we need to do is go get the shower curtain and we'll pick the color from there." And I know that's bad news immediately because, man, those walls can change color, you know, within 2 weeks.
Matt, that's not how women work.
Yes, it is, Matt. Don't let anybody fool you about it either.
Matt,
Tracy,
listen.
I got a spot at my dinner table. You come over here, have some dinner, and you tell me when you leave if that's not how things work in this household.
Listen, this is called a girls' club, and we stick together. That's not how we do things.
So I'm going to lose anyway, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Those are the rules.
All we belong to is the Yes Dear Club.
And it works, doesn't it?
No. But we have to still belong there just to stay alive.
I read a joke this morning, and it said that I think there was an 86-year-old couple, and she, you know, they've been happily married for something like 65 years or something on that order. And she said, you know, as she was getting older in years, she was starting to fail in health. And there were rules that her mom had told her, and they said that if you ever get mad at your husband, crochet a doll. And there were certain things he knew about her, and she never went through his wallet, and he never went through her box in her closet.
Mm-hmm.
And so as she was failing in health, she asked him to go and get this box out of the closet because he began to start clearing things out the house because she was really going down.
Mm-hmm.
And when he opened the box, there was two dolls and $96,000.
Okay.
And, you know, in my mind, I thought it was, you know, all women have a side stash somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept on going, and he said, honey, he said, what's the rules? He said, what's up with the dolls? He said, well, you know, my grandmother told me when I got married to you that I should, you know, crochet a doll every time I got married. And he said, well, you only have two dolls, so over all these years you've only been mad at me twice? He said, no. She said, no. The $96,000 was for all the dolls I sold. $2 were left. And I said, that was so cute.
Cute.
That was cute. You know,
very cute.
Yeah, see. Hey, Alabama, how are you?
What's up? Head to hitter. Try to do what I got to do to make this money. I'll be glad when I'm finished working like this. I want to hurry up and get out of there. I don't like working for nobody.
You got a bad Bluetooth on. You in South Carolina need to go into the Bluetooth.
Got no bad Bluetooth on. I'm in my car. I'm trying to get to Joey. I'm heading to work. I mean, what I'm supposed to do? I'm on the highway. I'm about to get off for some gas in a minute. So when I get off,
it sounds better. Yeah, it sounds like he was in a tunnel. Somebody kidnapped you in a tunnel. You need a
speakerphone on. Y'all, if it ain't the done Bluetooth, y'all tripping about or speakerphone or something. There's always something. Every time I'm unmute the mic, it's something.
That's because you're making so much noise.
Y'all just be on me, man. Y'all just don't like me. That's all right. Y'all just want to mess with me.
Now, Alabama, you know I love you.
Personal. That's all right. Y'all, it's personal. Y'all, like, we going to mess with Alabama. I'm going to be unmute the mic. You ready? Go. What's up, Alabama? As soon as I get to talking, y'all say something dirty. What's up with your phone? What's up with your phone? I'll be like, golly, every time I call.
It's because you're making so much noise. Look,
I'm getting off the highway as we speak. I'm decelerating. I can cut the cruise control off. I'm finna get me some gas. I was wanting to call and see what y'all were talking about, but I'm ready to get out of this 9-to-5 stuff, man. Even though I'm a contractor, it feels like to work for somebody else anyway. So I'm ready to get out of it and get back in the houses like I used to do. So
you got this.
Now you know what?
Huh?
Well,
the thing is, and this is the thing I was houses. You know, a lot of people saying it's bad. But money's cheap right now. You can get a loan for like, you know, $100,000 loan. Guy told me he'll let me. He only wants $510 a month on it. So I was like, man, you know, I started doing the math, and you know, as a builder, you can build a duplex for about $100. I got a friend of mine built a 4-bedroom, 3-house, 4-3 He paid $90,000, built it from the ground up. The house gonna sell for $170. He's finishing it, you know, painting carpet. He's finishing it up, but it's money to be made. But I'm gonna build and rent instead of trying to sell because I think that's a viable way to go. So
well,
I'm gonna take this test and get my license back and go ahead and do what I got to do. I got to renew my license.
What's your real estate license?
Nah, I won't be no agent. Everybody, when I say do real estate, everybody swear you're an agent. No, I'm talking about a builder, like a licensed builder. In order to build under four units, you have to have a residential license. Once you build over four units, then you're getting into commercial. But, you know.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So I'm trying to make this money, trying to get right. You know, I'm trying to get some passive income without having to say what?
And then you're going to get married?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Can I ask you guys a question? What do you mean you don't know?
I just don't know. I got my girl, my ex, she pretty cool, good woman, been by my side. Wait a minute.
Alabama. My girl, my ex, she pretty cool, she been by my side. Now, what's up with that? You can't call her my girl, my ex.
I mean,
ex.
We kind of not together. We not together, but we hang out a lot, and she's just cool. Yeah.
I heard that. How you gonna do
this? Good people.
Why don't you turn that way? I got this. Yeah, I got this. You know what, man? There's mass confusion going on in here because it's still cold outside, and the weather's terrible, and don't nobody want to deal with this cold no more. I mean, I went outside to dump the trash this morning. It was so cold, it hurt.
Oh, yeah.
They're still teaching global warming at school. I just went to my girl's little brother. It's the teacher. Yeah, we have a thing on global warming. I'm talking about you walk outside, it's about 15 degrees with the wind blowing. This is Birmingham, you know.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sick of all these
minus models, 3 man. Last night.
Yeah.
Minus 3.
I think we broke another record.
Yeah.
We're in the record-breaking business. It's global warming vortex.
Yeah.
Polar
vortex.
It's warming vortex.
Yeah. The planet is warming up so fast and hot that it's knocking the cold air out of its place and it's putting it down into the rest of the country. That's the foolishness they want you to believe.
Yeah, well, don't go. I got a guest coming. He's on.
Okay.
You go. You ready to start?
Don't bring him up.
Light a fire.
That's it.
Don't light a fire.
We already lit a fire. It's called global warming.
No, we need to light a fire.
Yeah. We're gonna light the fire. Come on, baby, light my fire.
No.
Going on, raise the climate higher.
No.
That's how it goes.
No.
That's the word to that song, Tracy. I remember.
I think you're right, but I'm not
going to. Going on, make the climate.
It didn't say climate.
Higher. Yes, it did.
No.
Of course it did. What do you mean?
No.
They knew about it back in the 60s. What do you mean?
No.
Al Gore wrote that song when he invented the internet. He wrote that song.
Al Gore wrote it.
That song. And he put it on the new internet that he discovered.
That's right.
He invented it.
The highway.
That was the first song on the internet.
You know, something is wrong here.
Yes.
Listen, I got a guest, and they're going to be talking about, there's an event coming up in Salem, we've got to get to it. So
in Salem what?
Salem, Ohio.
Salem, Ohio, okay, because there's a Salem Mass I got lost in on Halloween night one time. Only me could that could happen to. Definitely.
You got this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is Tracy, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And we have a guy by the name of Eric Jenis. Eric, did I get your name right?
Yes, you did. That's perfect, Tracy.
Yes! I'm going to mess it up before the day is over, but please charge it to my head and not my heart. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on. You're well?
I am well, and my co-host is here, and I've got some people on the line with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand you're going to be coming to the Mahoning Valley. You're going to be coming to Salem to a benefit. And tell us a little bit about who you are.
I'm a composer. I'm originally from Canada, and I moved to this beautiful country in 1997. And I compose, Tracy. I compose for the violin, for the cello, for orchestra, I compose for solo instruments and for voice. And so the concert really is a great deal of variety. You know, a big part of what I'm trying to do, and I perform it all over. I perform for, concert halls. I perform in big concert halls and small concert halls, everything from, with orchestras. And then I go on and I perform in prisons and schools and so on. The whole purpose of the music, though, Tracy, is this. Plato once said that if I was given a choice to govern a nation's laws or to govern the music, I would govern the music. Because to govern the laws, I tell the people what to do, but to govern the music, I can move their hearts. And so the whole purpose of music in our culture, historically, regardless of what culture, what your background, what your education is. There is something about music that penetrates the heart, the mind, and the soul in ways that words can't. And so it's a language that really speaks, a language of beauty that speaks to the person in a very deep way. So what I'm trying to do is, you know, in a day and age where, you know, sort of we're confused as to, or where people's tastes have shifted slightly here and there, I want to kind of remind them of what these beautiful instruments can do. So I go in and play, and, you know, everything from the classical elite to, you know, really high-level music people to people that don't care much about music, and they're moved. So the whole the point of the music is to get in there and to just sort of bring hope and bring joy and uplift them. And in concert, there's a lot of humor. I talk a lot about music and culture, and so it's a lot of fun. One of the things that Confucius once said, he said, if you want to know the morality...
Everyone faces challenge.
He said, let me hear the music, you know? And so music has a great impact. And so it's with that kind of spirit that I travel around. And I give concerts, and I give tours, and I give talks, and, yeah, so that's what I do.
And you're going to be here for Lifeline of Columbiana County Pregnancy Center, and they're going to be sponsoring this at the Salem First Friends Church, and it's going to be on March the 16th. It's on a Sunday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's located at 1028 Jennings Avenue in Salem, and tickets are only $10 for adults and $5 for students, and for $5 for students 18 and younger. And this is going to be a very, very special kind of event. I've got a chance. We're listening to your music in the background right now. And I really have to tell you, I really enjoy No Greater Love.
Oh, thank you.
It's very profound. I really, really enjoyed that.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's a piece I wrote for my wife as she walked down the aisle. So that was kind of fun.
Oh, wow. Wow, that was great.
Yeah, yeah.
And so,
I love it, yeah.
And the Lifeline Pregnancy Center does a lot of ministry over in the Salem area. They help 7,900 women. And this is going to be – what kind of music are you going to be playing that day?
Well, it's going to be a lot of very, very fast and intense violin music, very fast and intense cello music, and piano stuff. And there's going to be a lot of singing as well. Got an amazing singer that's going to be performing with us on this tour. So there's going to be a great deal of variety today. So we're really, you know, I'm really, really excited about this, and the cause couldn't be better. One of the beautiful things in our family is that I have a daughter who has Down syndrome, and she is an absolute gem. She is an absolute delight. And so, when I have an opportunity to use my music in such a way to bring hope and to bring joy to other people, I'm really excited about it. So that's sort of what's going on here.
And how long have you been playing?
I've been playing the piano since I was 7. Professionally and touring, I've been touring for about the last 20 years. And so, and playing, and like I said, in many, many, many different venues. One of my favorites is playing in the prisons. You know, when you go into the prisons, it's really quite, it's very moving. You know, it's the kind of thing where, I remember performing in the prisons, and one gentleman stood up, and he, in the middle of the first song, he yelled out, "I forgot what hope felt like," you know? So it was very meaningful to him, and that stirs me. Like, I just think, you know, anytime you can give somebody the gift of beauty, it's really great. Because when you look into these prisons, Tracy, it really knocks you between the eyes. There's absolutely nothing beautiful about them. And yet when you go and give them a taste of beauty through music, and they're really moved, you can tell that, you know, their hearts are really stirring and thirsting and starving for this. And so, you know what, that's why I tell people, you know what, bring your young, bring your old, bring your family. This is a concert for the whole family. Everybody should come. But you get to see musicians who could solo on any stage in the world, you know, just 20 feet, you know, 20 feet from you. It's so worth it. For $10, people pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars to see the soloist I'm bringing, and they're going to be paying $10 for this benefit. So I really, really encourage people, stop whatever you're doing and really get the word out and bring families, like bring all ages. It seems to really resonate with everybody. You know, I go in and play in places where, really, they don't know a violin from a lacrosse stick, but they really enjoy it and have a lot of fun. You know, so anyway, so that's, yeah, so it should be a great, great time, and it'll be very highly entertaining, and it'll be, you know, it's inexpensive, and it's for a great cause, so.
And if you want to buy tickets, you can call Teresa Morris at 330-360-8872. The event's going to take place on Sunday, the March the 16th at 3 o'clock at the Salem First Friends Church at 1028 Jennings Avenue over in Salem, Ohio. And tickets are only $10, and they want you to come out and support this cause. The cause is for Life, Lifeline, and it is a ministry that supports pregnant women. And they've helped 3,900 women over the years. They do a wonderful job down there as a pregnancy resource, and they deal with pregnancy tests, maternity and baby clothes, baby items, referrals to agencies, and it's all free of charge for the women that need it. And, you know, we're always talking about women shouldn't have abortion, but they need support systems a lot of times. And this is what this system does. It helps women who get pregnant, who think they're pregnant. They help them deal with the pregnancy, and they help them go through the process. And you need that kind of care.
You know, that is such a great point, because we live in a day and an age where we think, oh, you know, people are less judgmental, and they're much more supportive, and they're very good and very patient and very kind and understanding with these things. And the reality is they're not. And that's what the tough thing is. These girls, I think, are heroes. They're absolute heroes. They find themselves in difficult situations. They really feel on their conscience that they really want to keep the child, and nobody's out there to help. Well, there is help. Lifeline is great help. And so my thought is, you know, people are just, they do different things. You know, if you don't have the time to volunteer at a place like Lifeline, and all they do is help women. They don't force women to do anything. They don't coerce women to do anything. They just want to help. If a woman wants help, they help, and I love it. So my thought is, you know, if you can come and donate anything, you know, maybe you, at this point in your life, you can't really, you know, help out by volunteering, but maybe you can help out with a donation. And so that's what this event is. It's a celebration for these women. It's a congratulations for these women. And it's really an opportunity to support the center that's going to be helping so and has helped so many people in the past. So I'm very honored that my music, I love it when my music is used in such a way to help people. And this transcends politics. This transcends race. This is just helping people. I love it.
Eric, I want to thank you. I look forward to hearing you. I don't know. I'm going to do my best to come down and hear you on that afternoon, on that Sunday afternoon. But I know that you're going to be a blessing to all that show up. And again, if you want to come out, you want to. The number is for tickets and for more information. You want to call Teresa at 330-360-8827. Again, that number is 330-360-8827. It is the Lifeline Pregnancy Center Benefit Concert at Salem Friends Church in Salem, Ohio. And I want to thank Eric Jenis. Did I get it right?
Perfect, yep.
Thank you for coming on with me, and we appreciate you.
It's an absolute delight. It was great to meet you, and thank you for the time.
Thank you. Have a blessed day. I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can cook back to thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
If you love the food and the homemade...
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hello, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. It's 31 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, and the number is 347-945-5229. I'm expecting another call, another guest to come in, and his name is Steve. I want to say his name is Steve Vince. I'm not quite sure if he's going to come in or not, but I'm expecting him. And again, we're still listening to Ari Jenis, No Greater Love, and the vocalist is Lorenzo Owens. They're going to be here in Salem on the 16th of March. So again, I want to thank Teresa for... getting us in contact with our guests and having this conversation, letting us talk, have a conversation with actual artists that's going to be here. Sounds like it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful event. I like music. I like all kinds of music. Mm-hmm. I'm still stuck on Happy Jeff.
I see you are.
And I want you to know, Eric got me to play his bumper music and not play Happy.
How do you keep doing this?
Do what?
Turning down the headphone jack.
You keep yelling in my ear.
No, I got it. I turned it up.
You keep on yelling in my ear. And as much as I love you, you're yelling in my ear.
I'm straight Sling Blade.
You yelling in my ear.
I love that movie. I want to see
it. What? Yelling in my ear? Is that a movie?
Sling Blade.
I've never seen it.
You never saw Sling Blade?
No.
Oh, my God. You got to go get Sling Blade.
No, I've never seen that.
Oh, man, Sling Blade is a great, great movie.
I've never seen that.
That was a great movie. That's where
it was.
But
I reckon I ain't got no reason to kill nobody.
I've never seen The Godfather.
You what?
I've never watched The Godfather. Not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6.
There's nothing wrong with
I've never watched Star Trek. I've never seen E.T.
I can understand not seeing those if you didn't want to. But The Godfather comes on 100 times a week.
Nope.
And, I don't see how you don't see The Godfather, which was one of the greatest gangster series of all time ever. There's nothing better than The Godfather as far as that goes. They got good movies like Goodfellas, all of that stuff. You got all kind of nice stuff, but I mean, The Godfather was absolutely impeccably done. Impeccable.
No.
You got real issues.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Why do I have issues?
Because you don't know what's good in life.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I watch?
Can't hear God. Yay, Tracy, watch The Godfather. Yay, it will be good for thee if you will watch it. It will teach you something about gangster life. Yay.
No.
Is that how God talks to you?
No. I watch good movies.
What do you mean that you watch good movies?
I watch good movies.
No, you don't if you haven't seen The Godfather.
No, I watch...
Sorry.
No, I watch great
movies. Like what?
Coming to America.
That's not a great movie. That's a funny movie.
Okay, I watch.
Just when I'm out, they pull me back in.
Over and over, till there ain't nothing else to listen to or happy. You done played the thing through to the other side on a computer. Now you used to be that way on a record, disc, or CD.
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Yeah, I know you was.
I did.
You had to be one of those people.
I did.
there was always the person that I'd wake up in the summertime in the morning, and they'd have their little box out on the porch playing the same record over and over all day long, and I wanted to throw grenades. Yeah. Not because I didn't like the song. I loved the song, but they played it too doggone much.
No, I mean, I mean, at that time, see, I only had one record and one cassette. And
yeah.
It was the Jackson 5 and James Brown
you
popcorn.
A cassette. You know you started with 8 tracks.
No, I started with cassette.
Not if you had
Mother James
popcorn.
Brown.
The popcorn was on the 45 with the little yellow.
That's
little,
right.
With the little yellow disc.
And then with the 8-track, you didn't have a set of Mother popcorn.
But, you know, movies, I mean, I like Forrest Whitaker when he played Idi Amin.
Yeah.
I like that
last,
movie.
The last, whatchamacallit, that's a good movie.
I liked,
I'm with you on that.
I mean.
That was an excellent movie.
That's, you know.
Come on. Let's. We have to expand your viewership.
I like Pretty Woman.
We have to expand your viewership here. You see, you think Pretty Woman and 9 to 5 probably were great movies.
Absolutely.
See,
that's a classic. I like The Bodyguard.
Bodyguard was a good movie. See that? Here you go.
I like The Bodyguard.
That's what you're saying. Now I need to.
I like Mahogany.
Mahogany was a good movie back in its day. But it has nothing to do with...
What'd you say, Matt?
I just watched a show on... It was either Discovery or History, and it was all about the 80s. It was like a 2-hour show. And I've never seen 9 to 5, but Jane Fonda, they had on there for 45 minutes of this 2-hour show. 45 minutes explaining how great and how much 9 to 5 was a American classic. And what it showed, I couldn't stay. I'll never watch the movie after that. That's for sure.
What? She's coming out again now.
Well, it's not about Jane Fonda. It's about.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Jane Fonda was integral in that movie being made.
9 to 5 was just a funny Dolly Parton, lighthearted. Working
oh, no, it was all about women's rights. It was about the liberal movement in America.
Well, he was a bad boss.
Oh, it went. Oh, you should have seen them dissect that movie. I literally after a half an hour, I turned it off, and then I went back in the living room, turned the TV back on, and it was still on. I couldn't take it.
Although the garage door opener scene was pretty funny.
See there, thanks, Eric. I appreciate that.
I thought the movie was a funny movie. There's no doubt about it. But here's the thing. You see, Jane Fonda's coming back out, right?
To do what?
She's going to make commentary. I just saw this morning, so I'm not real clear on it. But she's going to say about sex and dating and this, that, and other, blah, blah, blah.
What about it?
Who gives a flip what Jane Fonda thinks about sex and dating, this, that, and other?
I don't think that's
she
a good idea.
She should be under the prison for treason and serving in a gulag somewhere.
You always make stuff so deep and hard. Why can't you get a happy light?
No, there's no happy with people like that. You can't have happy with people like that.
Are y'all missing?
They're the anti-happy of the world. You understand?
Listen, anytime you can watch a movie like,
mm-hmm.
you know, like The Godfather.
Yeah.
And you had a bunch of leading liberals in that, too. You know, happy light.
I mean, you had liberals playing the part.
Yes,
but the Godfather people were not liberals. Garen told you.
Well, they weren't liberals.
When
they were
nowhere
near
out.
Liberals.
What'd you say,
when
Eric?
I think I'm out, they pull me back in.
Yeah.
Y'all even know the words to it. But y'all, don't make it like happy as little light. You know, movies.
The Godfather was an impeccable piece of acting from beginning to end. There is
classic.
Nothing to compare to
it's
the Godfather.
It's a testosterone.
No,
movie.
No. You don't see. You
no,
ain't seen it.
It was not violent.
You
no,
haven't
it's not
seen
that
it.
Violent. It's not that violent at all.
Well, I don't know about that. I think it's very violent, but it wasn't unreasonably violent. Let's put it that way.
Compared to the Sopranos, it's not that violent.
And the Sopranos was impeccably done in my book. I think that was well done. I miss Gandolfini. Gandolfino,
yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah, he's a good actor.
Yeah, he played that role. No one else could have played that role. I'm
Tony
sorry.
Tony Soprano.
You guys.
And not only that, the Godfather and the Sopranos all had stuff happen throughout Youngstown here and there.
Now, listen. I'm not going to let you talk like that.
Yeah. Remember, Paul? Yeah, Paulie was in the Mahoney County Jail. Paulie was locked up in the Mahoney County Jail.
Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't.
That's right. Paulie was in Mahoney County Jail, and somebody else got arrested down in East Liverpool.
Youngstown, I'm not going to let you talk about my city. Youngstown did not have the mafia here.
Now you got the Amish mafia there.
Which one?
It's the Amish mafia there. I saw that show, The Amish Mafia. You ever seen that disaster on TV?
Yeah, that's crazy too.
They're spreading into the eastern Ohio areas too. I've seen a couple shows where they've done that.
Oh well, we're 1 mile away. Of course, you know that 1 mile, 2 miles away from PA, so it don't matter. PA and up there on the other side of Eric here, you know, you got plenty of Amish men around here.
Oh, yeah, you go off 422 headed towards Cleveland, it's nothing but Amish community out there.
No, huge. I worked with Amish for about 10, 12 years.
Do the Amish have a mafia?
Yes. They have a
TV show called Amish Mafia.
Yeah, but that's kind of fabricated about some other things because you have Amish men, and they live pretty true to their traditions, except when they do what they call yanking over. And when they yank over, they become more westernized, you know, more modern instead of the other. And you'd be surprised what Amish men can do. And you'd be surprised how rich these guys are, a lot of them.
Oh, they have land. They built my parents' house.
Oh, there ain't no joke. They are no joke.
They can drink, too. Amish.
No. Some of them do, yeah. Some of them do.
Oh yeah, yeah. I worked with a few of them too, Jeff. Not like you. It was just a few times. A guy that I used to work with was his family got out of the Amish life, but he still had cousins and stuff in there. They came and helped us with some projects. And I'm telling you, 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock, those coolers came flying out mighty quick.
Hey.
You know what? You got stories for them.
It's fascinating, you know, what they do. You'll go back in there. Now, they're not allowed to have electricity or some stuff running through the house.
Well, they can. It depends on if they buy a Yankee house. For a couple years, when they first buy a Yankee house, they can keep the electricity and keep it going.
Yeah, but generally, that's nothing happening, okay? But here's what they do. Out in their barns, they build these huge barns in the back. You go in that barn, and they'll have every saw, every woodworking machine in the world that runs off a gasoline motor. And they'll be back there, and they'll be cutting and building. They build to a fare thee well. And there's nobody better than the Amish at building. You can't outwork the Amish.
Oh, no. No. No.
In fact, if you really want to have a race, you have a race between.
No.
And I do not mean anything by this because this is not racial, but I'm very serious about work ethic. An Amish man and a Hispanic, you know, Mexican people, because these people are motivated to work.
And they work smart too.
Yep.
Oh yeah, they're very smart. They're all very smart.
Very, very smart. Even if they're not college learned, they're very, very, and very, very brilliant.
Like we know one guy that can work on computers. That tripped me out. He's working on electricity stuff. And I'm gonna say, you'd be surprised.
You'd be surprised what they know.
Yeah, they know a lot. I mean, I was very, very impressed with the Amish people.
Yeah, the way they can just. The way they all know how to work together to get the job done. It's just amazing the way they can put the house up. It's amazing.
Mine was the sense of how they disagree but have an order of community.
Yeah.
I mean, that just amazes me and how self-sufficient they are. They are very, very self-sufficient. They are not controlled by the world. They are the most free people I've met.
They are the true off-the-gridders.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I think black folk, they ask me the question, you know, I think black folk ought to learn some lessons from them.
Oh, you know, that would be nice. You know, I'm
serious. I mean, the independence that they have, I think we ought to learn that they are.
And they don't care what people think of them.
No. No. I take that back. They do care. They just don't allow it to hinder them. They do have feelings.
Yeah?
They do have feelings.
Yeah.
But they don't allow it to hinder them.
Well, yeah, they don't. There's no sense in it. Survival is everything. And the family is everything. And this was something that really laid me out the other day. Say, what does God deal with mostly, and why do you think there's such an attack on what the structure of the family is? Because family is the first relationship that God created. It wasn't even a church. It wasn't even the children.
No, it was the family.
It was the family. And the family is the most important.
Well, actually, it was husband and wife.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. But even without the children, it was a husband and wife. It was a marriage.
Yeah.
And that's why I get so... you know, when I think about the how we view same-sex marriage today.
That's why it's – for anybody that doesn't believe there is a God, just I'd like to say this. Think about that. Why is it then, is anything that God, the God that you don't believe in, but other people believe in and teach you about or told you about, do they come against everything that he originally created? He created a marriage. They come against the marriage with adultery, fornication, homosexuality, this, that, and the other. And then he created family. Family was supposed to be the production of the marriage. And what do you get? You get abortion. You get all these things that we're standing against, and we're killing our kids, and we're stopping all these things. That ought to show you there's opposition to something you can't see.
But I mean, there is, but the man's mind has been clouded.
It's not about that. I'm saying this is a very clear example.
If you can't see it, ain't clear.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying who can't see this?
No, if you can't see it, ain't clear. I really believe that some people's minds are closed off to light.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
And so they can't see.
I'm sure they are.
So if you can't see, you can't see. I don't care how you turn the lights on, they can't see.
But this is almost physical. In fact, it is physical.
They can't see. Anytime you can say, without a joke, and it not be a joke, that you believe that it is really normal to have two people of the same sex lie together.
This is true.
And you really in your mind have conditioned it to say, well, you know, that's normal.
And can I ask you guys a question?
That's a problem. Yeah.
Did they cure AIDS?
No.
Because how do you never see, they never associate male homosexuality and AIDS anymore. I find it funny that the media never does that anymore.
Because
most people that die from AIDS now are African-American women.
And that's not the reason why the homosexual lobby shut it down. They immediately
supposed to believe that the problem is solved and everything's hunky-dory now?
Yeah.
Well, that's because you know it's no longer a death sentence. All the drugs that they have plenty of the drug, and they have.
I mean, they really have done, and I have to say, I have to give it to them. They've done an excellent job.
Oh yeah, public relations.
Of the public relations, but not only the public, but the health awareness,
mm-hmm.
but the working for a cure. You know what I mean? I mean, at one time when Magic was diagnosed, you know, we thought he was going to die. Now he's doing, you know, ads 25 years later, actually, saying that if it hadn't been for affordable health care,
yeah.
He'd have been dead. In South Carolina.
Affordable health wasn't affordable health care, he'd be dead?
Yeah, that's what he said. It is, if you go to whitehouse.gov, you can see the little video.
Wow.
He left off at.
Wow, boy.
It was affordable to him.
No, no,
it
no.
It would have been affordable to nobody else. But
he left off at. You know, he said if it had not been for affordable health care.
Yeah.
Not the Affordable Health Care Act.
Yeah, he couldn't.
He forgot the act part.
He didn't forget. He couldn't add it.
No, because it isn't a lie.
That's right. Well, then they couldn't call it a documentary.
you know, I'm taking a course right now, and one of the things that we're talking about is delivery of health care. And the consensus with everyone in the class, which is, you know, ranges from doctors to CNAs to LPNs and RNs, is the Affordable Health Care Act has changed and will continue to change the way delivery of health care is being done. I mean, and what it's going to do is one of the things is there is a provision in there that will only pay a certain amount of money for, you know, a certain service. If it costs a hospital, you know, $3,000 to do a, say, for instance, an appendectomy, but the Affordable Care Act is only going to pay $1,500, that's problematic for the hospital.
Well, I mean, it's something that we're looking at here. You know,
well,
they
delayed
another portion of this thing, so all the other cancellations won't happen until after the midterms, which should not be allowed. And I don't know why there isn't marching in the streets. This is like, I won't say that part of it, but there should be marching in the streets of protest. This is ridiculous.
You know, that
well,
might be
you can.
Yes, you can, because he is taking a huge liberty, changing the law past Congress, not even considering going through Congress.
Yes.
He's just doing it.
You know what? Listen. I want you to understand something.
Mm-hmm.
If you're ignorant and the only thing that's on your mind is the Oscars, what you gonna eat tonight and what you gonna wear this weekend, what makes you think people are really gonna pay attention to? Because they think it's free.
Well, those people we're not concerned about. We're talking about the people that should know better.
No.
We should be out there in the street.
They can't.
But it's too doggone cold.
They can't.
That's another. That's why I think they're controlling this weather to keep folks butt home.
They can't, Jeff. They can't see the forest for the trees.
We're too late when I realized.
Do you not see that?
Mm-mm. I can't see the forest for the trees.
They can't see the forest for the trees. Can't you see that?
Mm-mm.
Why?
Because it's not. I don't think it's so. I think that they're just. I think that they're wore out. I think they're tired.
Who's wore out?
The people that are getting victimized by this situation.
They ain't wore out. They lazy.
I don't think
yeah, most people
they're
think
lazy
the insurance companies are the problem.
What'd you say, Eric?
Most people think the insurance companies are the problem, and Obama fixed the insurance companies, not knowing that the insurance companies they raise their prices up. This is right up their alley. You know, I mean.
Not only that, the government gives them carte blanche to just charge whatever the hell they want to charge. And guess what? The government says, well, we'll pay it because the program wasn't ready to roll out. Now, it's a total disaster. He's destroyed health care in America just about. Six more months and it'll be done.
It won't be done.
It'll be done.
It won't be done.
There'll be no structure to it.
There's no structure now.
Oh, there's plenty of structure to it now.
People, listen, everybody's supposed to be on. You can't get on. Nobody knows what they're doing, and they think they're uncovered, and they're not covered.
Listen, you had, out of 315 million people, you only had 40 million that didn't have it. So now they have screwed up the whole system for 40 million people. Okay?
Yeah.
So
now the 40 million people that don't have it, what about the rest of the people?
Well, now you have about 60 or 70 million that don't have it because all these, you know, the way they rewrote these plans, they're canceling all plans.
And why?
Well, now you have more people without it than you did in the first place.
So why is there no outrage?
And when you fit, because people
because
are.
Because Harry Reid said those are lies.
They're wore out, first of all.
They're not wore out. They're not paying attention.
Yeah, Harry Reid said if everything's already real, okay.
It's a lie. They're all lies.
They're not paying attention, Jeff.
No,
No one has got to do with the health care system.
People are asleep.
I'm dirty, hairy.
Yeah, they're lazy. They're passive, and no one is paying attention.
Also known as droopy, and
they're not paying attention. They don't know.
He is droopy the dog.
They don't pay attention.
That's
right
is,
now. I mean, you're looking at Congress, and people think they can't do anything with Congress.
Uh-huh.
People have no idea because of ignorance. And the American electorate, they put this in action. They actually re-voted for it.
Yeah.
I understand, and you actually, they're just tired. Well, why would you vote for something that just killed you? Come on now.
Well, the Congress people, they're getting a fallout here in another vote. They're going to vote themselves totally out of having to deal with the health care system. When they retire, they're going to go back to the same health care they had before the health care system came out.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
Put in by, of course, the Democrats.
But listen to what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Look at what's happening. And you said people are not outraged. Ain't nobody outraged but you.
Oh,
Ain't nobody paying attention.
I disagree, but I hear
it. They ain't paying attention because if they were paying attention, they'd do something about it.
Hey, Sarah Palin, you got a good one in.
Oh, she's been doing it. 410, your mic is on.
You know, I don't think people are asleep. I think that a lot of them are afraid. I mean, if you really step out against the president, you got the IRS all over your backside. And I really believe that he uses that as a weapon. The problem is that we're trying to do something about this. When we should have done something about this in 2007 when this guy was elected. Nobody vets anybody during elections, or anybody else for that matter. And that's the problem we have. I mean, we're voting in people we don't know nothing about. This guy's records are sealed. We still don't know what anything is, what's about with him. Still don't know.
That's part of the plan. That's completely part of the plan. I mean, that's been the plan for the last couple thousand years. You keep the populace ignorant, you keep them stupid and uneducated, and you control them. So, of course, in 2007, 2008, nobody except for, a few conservatives were actually looking into who Barack Obama was. A few knew before. I didn't know until 2007, 2008 who Barack Obama was. But once I saw that he was coming down the pike, you're dang right I studied up on him. A lot of people didn't. They bought into the hope and change and the preaching of ignorance that they gave. That's how you control a population.
Yes, yes. They cheerleaded him in, and I looked into this guy, and I said, and I was telling relatives, and they're laughing at me, and I'm going like, you're not laughing now, are you? You're not laughing now.
You could not convince people he was not who they said he was.
That's right.
You still can't. There's still people out there that buy into the same rhetoric, and all Obama has to do is come out and say that isn't so, and that's good enough for those leftist voters.
You want to know what the problem is with that? Those same people can't admit that they were wrong. They can't bring it. They can't bring themselves to admit I was wrong about this guy.
It had nothing. It's not about them not admitting. It's just the ignorance of them.
It is with my family.
listen. How ignorant is it to get up on national TV and say that 16 million people are liars? That's what you got with Harry Reid. That's what you got with Barack Obama. That's
and Pelosi.
It's their culture. I mean, what? It's crazy.
By the way, Tracy, I took your challenge up. I looked into the background of Martin Luther King, and he cheated with a lot of women, and his wife knew about it. The FBI's got tapes on it. The FBI's got – oh, yes, they do. I read all
no.
– I've been reading about this for 2.5 weeks. Oh, yeah. His records, matter of fact, they're so scared about it, his records are sealed into 2027. They even thought that he had communist ties. I'm just telling you straight up, and I did a lot of reading on this, a lot of reading. I mean, Abernathy, his best friend, he was fixing them up with prostitutes, friends, and there was even guys' wives that he was sleeping with. This is all documented.
I think they went into break, so it's 10:01
yeah,
and I don't hear her talking.
I knew she didn't want to hear that.
I think she got off before you started into it, so you'll have to bring that up when she comes back.
Yeah. I mean, and he was open about it. He was open about it to his friends. His wife Coretta did not like sex.
You know, there's a lot of things about Dr. King that I've heard come out, and they say that they're in sealed files, and I've heard, and I'm not saying it's not true. I'm saying that I can't find anything. I've researched a lot of the whole communist ties thing and everything, and I'll tell you what, there's a lot of it that I can't find through public record, at least what's out there now. So I can't say it's true or it's not. A lot of it's hearsay by people that say that they knew him. So
John Kennedy, after his speech on the right there in front of Lincoln's memorial, he warned him that J. Edgar Hoover was investigating him. He says they know all about your women. And I guess he just about almost turned white.
Well, you know, when you look at that, you have to understand what was going on too. They wanted they wanted Martin Luther King's endorsement of the Democrat Party going into JFK's second term, and a lot of that. I'm sorry.
Well,
go ahead.
I have to say that I've never thought of a group 440, but when you research it to MLK. I don't know about the process. I know about the other women. I know there's stories out there, but unless I hear the FBI tapes, I'm not going to count that as fact. But as far as him having communist ties, he did, in a way, agree with communism, not the government system, but he saw that in communism, everybody was included and not discounted based on race, gender, or whatever, whereas in America, there was a lot of segregation, a lot of racism, a lot of bigotry, rules made for different people. So that's how you had a lot of African Americans gravitating towards communism back then. As far as Abernathy, his right-hand man, who was a homosexual, open homosexual.
So was J. Edgar Hoover.
MLK was pro-choice, and he was pro-gay civil rights.
Here's the thing that people don't quite understand. In communism, there is no equality.
You took that one little piece, and that's what
thing? No, hold on. What I'm saying is it may look like that, but there's no equality. And trust me, there is racism in communist countries. I mean,
you look down at Cuba, anybody that's been down there,
Here's the other part of it, Diva.
John F. Kennedy.
Folks are so amazed at that stuff about Martin Luther King and about Barack Obama when they were amazed when they found out that Strom Thurmond had a black daughter. Hell, we knew this 40, 50 years ago.
John F. Kennedy was a lot more shallow in regard to what you're talking about, all right? The reason he wanted Martin Luther King to tone it back a little bit with the women, because JFK was even worse. He had women running in and out of that White House. It was ridiculous.
That's true.
He had sex. If you guys know who his secretary was her name was Mrs. Lincoln. Her assistant. He was having sex with her and with Jackie's secretary. All right? I mean, he had women all
Here's
over
the thing.
Place.
With
well,
his,
Jay, well,
with
now,
his
listen,
serious back
now,
injury,
wait,
I wonder how was he having all this sex, or did that make his back injury worse?
Diva,
Steve,
I'm just saying.
He was drugged up. He was drugged up. Now, listen.
I mean, you would think them drugs would make him impotent.
No.
No. Well,
Viagra wasn't created back then. Viagra, Cialis. I'm not discounting what you're saying, because we all know JFK was a horn dog. But I'm just saying, the man was getting it in like that with a back injury, or did it make it worse?
And?
I don't know. Most men ain't going to be able to, you know, would y'all be able to? I mean, that was a serious injury. He let everybody think he was healthy and whole, but he really wasn't.
He's the president, even. He can lay on his back, and they'll do all the
work.
There
you go.
Even worse.
Well, it's even worse.
But,
Diva.
But he was trying to tell MLK, hey, don't have back, because if they're looking at you, they're looking at me.
Well, he wanted the Negro vote, and MLK was the catalyst to the Negro vote.
Yeah,
and
but you know what the problem was?
If MLK's image was tarnished, he would lose the Negro vote.
You knew who had that vote? Who was actually the favorite son of the black people was Linda Bay.
Bring me down, came numbers. Bring me down, the love of two. Bring me down, came numbers. Bring me down, I said.
Well, I'm back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. And I want to remind you that the 16th of this month, the Lifeline Pregnancy Center is going to have a benefit. And we want to thank Eric Jennings for coming on. And if you want more information, you can call 330-360-8827. Jefferson Studio with me, and it is open mic, and I'm quite sure they're having a conversation in the chat room. I don't know where they went with that, but I just don't think America is up and going. So where are you guys talking about?
MLK.
And John F. Kennedy being whore dogs.
He had a lot of girlfriends. His wife knew about it. She didn't like sex. Abernathy was giving them prostitutes and friends and the whole deal. So he wasn't the clean and driven person that everybody thinks he was. But
can I ask you a question? How did you guys get from health care to the infidelity of MLK?
Because the whole thing is that we haven't vetted anybody that we vote for, even on the local level, all the way to the top dog in this country. People do not investigate what the heck they're voting for or who they're voting for. And about 2.5 weeks ago, I don't know what all that sound is there, but that's crazy. But about 2.5 weeks ago, you challenged me on that, and I went and investigated it. And yeah, the FBI's got all kinds of things on him, and that's all sealed up until 2027. So,
but let me say this
anyway.
Listen. The infidelity of a man does not stop the workings of a man. So that's between he and his wife and his family. That's my take on it. The reason why I say that, because I know several people who I'm glad that I'm not married to, and I don't condone people being out there cheating on their husbands and their wives and all that kind of stuff. I just don't. But that's not my concern. And yes, it shows to your character, but it doesn't necessarily show to your circumstances. And I'll put it that way.
When you put your belief in people, when you have them lead you, their moral compass is very, very important. Very important.
Can I say this?
He wasn't leading people.
Can I say this?
He sure
name me one pure as the driven snow leader that you know of throughout history.
I'm just saying.
I have a question.
You know, we tend to label. You're not letting me answer.
George Washington, I cannot tell a lie.
No, Diva,
don't
go crazy.
He was a dog, too.
I was just
My question
saying,
is,
no,
name me
I'm
one. Name me one flawless man. Answer the question that Jeff asked.
Mahatma Gandhi.
No. Nope.
Jesus Christ.
There's one.
Jesus Christ.
The reason why I say is this, because men are men, all of them are, and they are subject to fail at any time. But we always want to point out the black men that fail, but we don't point out the white ones that do, et cetera,
no,
et cetera.
That's wrong.
Yes, that is not bunk.
I meant John F. Kennedy.
Listen.
I said John F. Kennedy was worse than him. So was Bobby Kennedy. So was
friend,
Bill Clinton.
I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about my experience here. And the thing is we covered John F. Kennedy. We covered Bobby Kennedy, okay, all the time. But we didn't cover Martin Luther King.
But now, hold on.
He was out in the forefront of everything at that time.
Now, hold on. Martin Luther King, let's really be real about this. The reason why they know about him is because they were illegally wiretapping what he was doing.
Well,
they were illegally following
Hillard,
him. They weren't illegally following him. They were. It was.
Yes,
it was very legal. Bobby Kennedy authorized.
Kennedy can't authorize the wiretap.
Only a court can.
Tracy.
Yes.
Tracy.
Oh my God.
You know, there's a theory out there that tells that the reason why J. Edgar Hoover went after Martin Luther King so hard was he was afraid that Martin Luther King was going to expose him for being black.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah. There is that conspiracy theory out there that J. Edgar Hoover was actually a black man.
J. Edgar Hoover was a cross-dresser. He was a cross-dresser, and everybody inside the Beltway knew about it. And there's a lot of that is all intertwined. And as far as the illegal wiretap, the Hillard Hotel in Washington, D.C. is where that occurred. I read up on this, believe me. I for 2.5 weeks, because Tracy challenged me on that. So I can tell you that there was some of the illegal wiretapping going on. J. Edgar Hoover hated him, and he hated the Kennedys. He did not. Him and Lyndon Johnson were in cahoots. It's very possible that Lyndon Johnson had Kennedy killed.
Oh, my God. Who didn't know that one?
A lot of people.
Well,
yeah,
I'm telling you, I read all this stuff for about 2.5 weeks. And this is what I came up with. I'm telling
you
straight.
Wow.
How
old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah.
I'm 65.
No, you're not.
Wow. You're not.
Just think about it. How many people out there that are my age?
I am 65 years old.
No.
Well,
you don't sound a day over 38, 40. Maybe 40-something.
No, he's 40, 42.
Okay.
wait a minute. I'm going to tell you. I'll tell you. I'm actually 64. And I will be 65 on April 7th. And I was born in 1949. And I was born in 1949.
No way.
If you're born in 49, he's 65.
You're just good at math. Come on,
right.
Man.
Listen to me. I graduated in 1967. I'm a Vietnam War veteran. I was in Pleiku. I was in Tuiwa.
I want to see some ID.
Do you want me to keep on going on? Yeah. Well, ask Jeff. Jeff will tell you.
I believe you.
Am I lying, Jeff?
No, my brother.
I was in Tuiwa. I was in Pleiku. I was in Anke. I got bit by a snake. Wait a minute. I have two scars on me from hand-to-hand combat. You want me to go on?
You really don't sound like you get ready. You got an AARP card.
I mean,
right.
but see, Doc, now I'm not that old. My brother is.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not. My brother would be that old because he was born in 49. But the situation is they don't realize that when you start getting older, your life force doesn't necessarily abate unless you stop learning, unless you stop being involved. That's when your life force abates. and you sound very vibrant, and you're quick with it.
I work out every day.
Well, that's a good thing.
I work out every day.
Listen,
I do.
I want to see some pictures.
But listen,
you want to see some pictures? I'm bald headed.
We don't even know what you look like, but we want you to send some photos in. So you can justify who you are.
You called this illegal wiretapping, and it wasn't illegal wiretapping.
Why wasn't it?
Because it was off. Go ahead.
At the Hillard Hotel, it was illegal wiretapping, sir.
Well, here's my point, is that Bobby Kennedy authorized J. Edgar Hoover to keep surveillance on Martin Luther King because of a possible situation of that, that
no,
he was a communist.
J. Edgar Hoover hated Bobby Kennedy. He did this on his own. Bobby Kennedy and John Kennedy wanted to be best friends with MLK. They didn't want to ruffle his feathers. J. Edgar Hoover hated Martin Luther King. Hated him.
Yes.
And
you do understand that in order for a wiretap thing can only be issued by a judge, right? Robert Kennedy was not a judge. He was Attorney General. He had to get authorization from a federal judge to do a wiretap.
It was against the law. At the time, Jeff, there was against the law, the wiretaps that were going on with Martin Luther King.
No, but he didn't want to. He didn't want to in the first place.
I believe that the Kennedys were worried about MLK's supposedly communist ties, and at one point they were.
They wanted the black vote.
They were okay with the wiretapping because they wanted to get to him too.
They wanted the black vote. They didn't want to ruffle his feathers.
No, that's not what it was.
That wasn't it at all, Dave. I mean, it had nothing to do with that because they knew who was a communist and wasn't. You think that daddy was?
JFK was worried about the rumors and the communist ties.
He was worried. Let me straighten this one out then, first of all. Do you know who the Kennedy's father was? Hold on, 440. Do you know who the Kennedy's father was?
Yes.
Joe.
Okay, who did he fund during the World War II?
What does that have to do with anything?
It has a whole hell of a lot to do with it.
I'm not saying he was against communism. Answer the question.
We know Diva ain't going to answer the question.
Because she don't know.
Yes, I do know.
But this is what I have to make a point of. He had the communist bankrolled. You understand? He had communism bankrolled. He knew who the communists were and who they weren't. He wasn't confused. He knew what his daddy told him and who his daddy told him, and he still had his daddy's people in his administration working. They brought all those people over here in World War II, and we still had control of them.
Yeah.
And listen, I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
You need to hear with your ears and not your eyes.
I'm so excited. Charlie Saver Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right.
Hey,
you can get Charlie Saver Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the steak and
bread. If
you can't taste the meat, push the pork. Pick up the smooth and Charlie Saver Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Saver Barbecue Sauce.
That's okay.
The pool couple of Charlie Saver Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery store. Ask your grocer for
my boyfriend is
if you can't taste the meat, then what's the
and he's darn near
do you
ball
depend
head.
On your computer, then you know
44?
That a virus on your computer is bad
wow.
news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number. 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty
Township.
Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700.
online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com. Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop.
Are you there, Diva?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, I am 64. I'm bald-headed. I have a daughter, 44, granddaughter, 8. I'm an old guy.
Wow.
Well, you and not so blind Mike have a very young voice. You just do. That's take it as a compliment.
All right. Yeah. That's no problem.
Well, I can vouch for not so blind Mike. He is the age. He's in his 60s. He doesn't look it, actually, really.
Yeah, April 7th, 1949. So, yeah, but I work out every day. I'm not going to fade away. It's going to go all at one time, I think. I'll just drop over. I try to burn the candle at both ends, so to speak. In a good way, not a bad way.
Are you married? Are you married?
Yes, I've been married since.
Oh, okay.
Are you ready? 1968. How do you like that, Diva? I've been with the same gal from 1968.
Dude, I was born in 64.
Pardon me?
I mean, I was born in 64, in the latter end of 64. I'm on the tail end of the baby boom generation.
Hey, Diva, and I knew her from 19. I knew her from 1964.
So it took you 4 years to marry her.
We're in school.
Oh. Oh, yeah, because you graduated in 1964, right?
1967.
Oh, wow, you married straight out of high school.
Well, 1969, I was like almost 20, 19.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, see,
you're
I'm complete
before that. So.
Oh, she's not a teacher, is she? Or wasn't your teacher, was she?
I wish.
Okay, now I'm reading something on Snopes. And it said, although the FBI did conduct surveillance on Martin Luther King and two Southern Christian Leadership Conference associates who are former Communist Party members, Stanley D. Levinson and Jack O'Dell, the Bureau was unable to uncover any credible evidence of active participation or funding between the Communist Party and SCLC. So they were concerned about so-called wired communist ties between MLK and communism.
Well, hell, I mean, Diva, you're
talking
about
the
not
even, AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 23 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and I hope you're having a good day today. I was trying to get to the Ukraine, but I guess we're still on 1964. Mm-hmm. And Jeff and I are fighting about the illegal wiretaps, and now he's got me doing stuff that I didn't want to do, trying to do something that because I'm trying to get other stuff done. But, you know, there's a lot that's going on in America, and I don't know how we got to this point here. And as I think in the last break I said, you know, there's no flawless man, so I don't get into that depth of a person's character in that manner. I try to go by the actions in which they take, because all man is flawed. And I have not found one man that is not flawed. I go by, you know, your belief system. If you're lazy, you have an agenda, I have an issue. If you are forthcoming, even if you've had problems in the past, I'm more lenient to listen and be lenient to hearing what you have to say. And then being rational. I go back to, I take President Obama right now. And his track record in the last several years has told me that he's been a man that I would not want to follow, even though he is my president. So that's why I question a lot that he does. And I don't even think he's cheated on his wife.
Oh.
President Obama.
I'm
just saying. I don't think he cheated on his wife, but I will say this. I'm more apt to, and I hate to put it this way, I'm more apt to hear what Bill Clinton has to say, and I know he cheated on his wife.
Yeah, but you didn't know Bill Clinton cheated on his wife or didn't have that mindset until it came out.
No, we knew. We knew it. We knew it, Jennifer Flowers.
And that's,
before he even got elected, folks knew that he had a winky problem.
I don't know. I think he was built up so much as a do-gooder that never could have happened. I don't know. Maybe you're right.
Oh, no.
He walked in the office with a winky problem. We all knew that.
He sure did, because the one girl that didn't look so nice that what's his name, called trailer trash. You know, pull a dollar through a trailer cabin. You get something like her.
Do you remember when he had? I think the interview with Barbara Walters, he and Hillary, while he was on the campaign trail, about his infidelity. Before he was even elected.
I wonder how Monica Lewinsky feels to have a sex act named after her.
To have a what?
Yeah.
Like, she wants to change her name.
She's singing about it in her song.
I mean, if you listen to one of Beyonce's songs,
it's in
Partition,
there.
I was like, what did she just say? And I was like, oh, Lord, my God, I can't believe she said that. But then again, I can't, because it's Beyonce. It's a definite act named after Monica Lewinsky.
You know, if you're talking about the Barack Obama, I don't think that he's ever cheated on Michelle either, because I don't think he has the goulignons to do it. I could see her coming out and actually having an affair on him, though.
Come on.
I could see that.
Yeah.
That is one tough woman right there, and I don't, you know, I think she can get away and do whatever she wants. She's very liberal.
No, that doesn't make you a cheater.
No, I don't see that.
She's a scary one to me. You know, she's a type that will smile in your face and then throw grits on your back when you turn around.
Well, no. I am not too many.
I'm serious.
He better not step out. She do look like she'll Lorena bother him. I'm just saying.
I mean, you know, she is a black woman. Don't get her twisted.
Hmm.
You
see, Jeff in South Carolina got to fight on that one because they know.
She's already had a reason. We had the Nelson Mandela funeral where Obama was getting all nicey-nicey with, who was that? Who was that?
I don't think she was mad at him for that. I don't.
But there was one time where she was giving a speech and there was a heckler in the crowd. No, she laid into her.
That I can see. Because black women, sometimes we don't have the smiley face that we should always have when we're in public.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we look serious and look mad when our mind is somewhere else.
Tracy,
we don't have that white. We don't have
Tracy.
That white girl.
No. Tracy, just. When have you not known a black woman to be mad?
We don't necessarily have to be mad, but you guys think we're mad because we're deep in thought. We tend to have a serious face, and you think we're mad. I get that a lot.
I'm believing it.
I'm like, I'm not mad. I'm just thinking.
Hey, I got four older sisters, a mama, and four younger daughters and a wife. Okay? So don't try and pull that on me. I told you 10 women.
Well, then you've given them a reason to be mad at
me. They want to purport like somebody ain't angry. They no good and doggone. Well, they angry black women.
No.
And
what
that's
makes
just
green
it.
You better be quiet, Jeff. She's going to start texting you again.
I ain't got nothing to worry about. Right now, I'm worth more alive than dead. So,
yeah, okay.
I ain't tripping.
But we're not always. We just don't look friendly. As friendly as our counterparts. Sorry.
Yeah, like South Carolina said, I got a mother, I got a sister, I got a wife, I got a daughter, and I got three aunts. I know black women.
Well, quit making them mad all the time.
No, we don't. We don't have
y'all,
to.
Hey, y'all black men
we
get on
don't
our
have
nerves.
To.
Don't they, Tracy?
We
work on our last nerve. Y'all work our last nerve.
Do you have to teach a dog to pant? Thank you.
Nope.
Same difference.
Well, you just learn how to pant on your own then, huh?
That's right. You do not have to teach a dog how to pant. a dog will pant all on his own.
Are you equating us to dogs?
No. I'm saying autumn. See, that's why can't liberal people understand likenesses? They want to make it actualnesses.
Me and Devo on the same team today.
Yeah, no, y'all can't be on the same team. But you don't. You never saw the Godfather, so you can't talk to me.
So we don't call y'all team Treva.
We have nothing to talk about, Tracy. We have nothing in common here.
Like I said, Jeff, I think I'm out. They pull me back in.
Like a dog.
I know when I
didn't say
when
you
I
were a dog.
Sometimes.
I said you don't teach a dog to pant. A dog naturally pants. You don't have to teach a black woman
so
to be
angry. So
you're
saying we're just naturally angry
all
the time.
It's a natural state of being.
You know, that's not a fair statement.
For who?
That's not a fair statement. I think it's a census.
The South, is that offensive to you?
I think that's very offensive.
No.
What?
Where are y'all wives and y'all daughters?
No, it doesn't bother me.
It ain't offensive to us.
No, it's not offensive.
Because you're not saying it about you.
Well, one of them might be listening today, so I got no comment.
Right. See,
what you say, Eric? Because, you know, I'm going to put it on your
man.
Facebook that you think all black women are mad.
Hey, Jeff.
Angry black
Jeff
women.
Might be, they might be listening, so I'm going to be quiet.
All six of the women that's in on the line right now, you know,
yeah.
The three in the studio and the three on the line.
Listen, I think you guys are very, very off balance today.
See, Ben, I got a room at Ben's house, so I'm okay no matter what happens. Unless Ben get married, then I can't camp out at his house. But, you know.
See, I know, like, people always see me, and they're like, you're always smiling, and you seem so happy. But when I'm in deep in thought, then they're asking, what's wrong? Are you mad? No, I'm not mad. I'm just thinking. My mind is somewhere else.
But see,
you're thinking that hard of a process that you have to switch up and look all angry?
Yes.
Y'all need to oil up those gears a little bit more. Start doing some mind twisters and stuff like that.
Why is it that black men think that black women are mad or angry?
Because they are.
No, we're not.
There's not a good reason for it. There's a whole psychological bent behind it. Most black women are frustrated with their black men because of the state that black men usually have in society. And it's because black men are not liked in society. Unless you're 50, 60 years old, you're not cared for in American society. You're afraid. You're feared.
Who? Black men?
Black men. Okay, and when you're feared, people treat you negatively. And when they treat you negatively, you don't attain as quickly or as fast as some others unless you have a nice situation like, you know, you're a professional, you got your training early, you have a good business acumen, this, that, and other. Or you're a great athlete. So those things you can overcome a lot of times. But most of the time you can't.
You know, I have to say it this way. With that kind of thought process,
mm-hmm.
That's why black men don't want black women.
Right.
Because they think
precisely.
Hold on. So they go after something that they think is going to not be angry.
Not think. Don't forget that a white woman does not demand on a black man the same way
hold
that
on.
A black
let me,
woman
let me
does.
Finish my statement.
Mm-hmm.
So what is happening is you guys presuppose that all black women are angry.
Mm-mm.
No, you do. And so that's why black women can't find black men. Now black men can go, hold on. Now black men can grow and have sex with them and make babies and walk away. But they don't stay because they don't want to be with angry black women.
Well, that's because a woman acts
that's
angry.
That's true. Because men feel we shouldn't have to come home to that.
Precisely.
But you can come home and load
and
load off and do what you choose and not be the man that you should be and not be as compassionate as you want to be because we have to put up with it because we can't do better because we're angry and you guys are just so great.
Not at all. You see See now, that's the anger coming out. Now you see mm-hmm. the vindictiveness of which what that was said. That's not mm-hmm. how we feel about that at all.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, guys. Black men are like water and electricity. We're going to take the path of least resistance.
And if a black woman is providing
a lot of resistance, they're going to walk away from it. They're going to leave it alone. They're going to do just like water. Find the path of least resistance to get where they want
to
go to.
It doesn't make any logical sense to sit there and fight
with
you.
Hold on, Diva.
We're going somewhere with this. Hold up.
Diva, it doesn't make any logical sense as your partner to come home and battle with you. That's not what we want to come home and do with you every single night about every single issue.
So do you battle with your wife every single night on every single issue?
No, I don't.
Then where's the truth in your statement?
It is for a lot of purpose.
How about you come home
and battle every night with your wife?
Diva, it's not every single.
Cousin, you guys are making a general statement about black women and black relationships based off of what you are seeing, not getting a picture of what you're seeing in someone else's relationship, not understanding the dynamics of that relationship or what's really going on. And you're trying to base and something in fact, saying this is fact based off of someone else's situation. You don't have all the pieces.
Hey, Diva.
Diva, here's the thing. See, we just said something that was an A plus B equals C, give us a C answer. It's 1 plus 2 equals 3. You interjected about 50 different things in that.
No,
that
one
has to do with being angry.
1 plus 2 equals 3. You're saying, oh, Billy and Janie are always arguing, mm-hmm. and he come to you and tell you he's got so much problems at home, so it's a fact that black women give their men number grief, but you don't know what Billy is doing to Janie to cause Janie to be mad.
There's a perception that that's what it means to be a strong black woman. If you're weak, if you don't want to come home and, you know, battle it out every night.
Well, I mean, one of you are experiencing that, so I'm confused.
I don't understand that.
Me either.
Can I explain now? Okay, Diva, we're not looking at other relationships necessarily to come to that conclusion. We're looking at our own experience, and we're the ones that date black women, you know, from the time we're young and get older, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I love black women. I wouldn't have chosen. Outside of a black woman, for me, that's me. Okay, I'm willing to deal with the whole situation, but it is a absolute fact.
I think it's a cop out.
No, it's not a cop out. Black men were treated very badly in America, and the black woman was put on sort of a smaller pedestal, but she was put above the black man. And so, therefore, she thinks that she can talk to the black man like the white man talks to the black man. Why don't you listen for a second so you understand what we feel? Then you can deal with your emotions in it there too. Then we're getting beat by you, and we're getting beat by the world. Okay, every day, and you're talking to us just like that white man that talks to you negatively at work does, and that white man that talks to you negatively in the system because he's afraid of you. He's afraid of your strength. Go ahead.
Your work day is 12 rounds. Nobody wants to go home to round 13.
Jeff, how long have you been married?
Well, it don't matter about me because I have.
Because you said your experiences. So
29
your experience,
years.
Hold on. Okay, so your experiences with black women were in your teens, 20s?
You were dealing with
people who had immature emotions, women who probably...
Don't assume certain things,
I'm not,
Diva.
I ran with people eight and ten years older than me.
You can't get an understanding of me because you can't do that.
Hold on.
I'm not trying to get an understanding of you per se.
I'm trying to get an understanding of what you're saying. Listen. Wait a minute. I want you to stop. I'm 50 years old. And. Hey, Steve, hold on. I'm 50 years old, and I don't do angry too well. And to assume that all black women are angry black women is a good way to make sure that black women don't have black men.
Tracy, can I interject a little piece that I think people are missing?
Yes, please.
I'm a white guy married to a Puerto Rican woman. And for the first 5 years of our marriage, it was awful. It was that 13th round we were talking about. But we have one thing that we're not discussing, and that's longevity. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Longevity.
Longevity.
Thank you. Longevity. I've been married 15 years now, and the last 8 to 10 years, we gave up on that daily battle that we used to have because we decided to fight through it and have a family unit and decided to work together. We very rarely fight anymore. I mean, once a year, tops. We get agitated with each other, but we will walk away and not say a thing, cool down, and then talk to each other. That's the one piece that's missing, is nobody is willing to have a relationship past 5 years anymore with anyone. And that goes past black and white, or black, white, Puerto Rican, whatever. That's just the way society is in this day and age, is nobody's willing to stick with their partner and sit down and figure things out. That's why you see these round 13s coming home from work and fighting all the time, because no one's willing to work through it.
Well, two, don't forget that you're a white man. And so, therefore, the respect level is going to be a little bit different.
I don't think you guys understand what we're talking
about. My wife is Puerto Rican, Jeff. Okay? My wife is Puerto Rican. I'm sorry. I know that
you're once again, Puerto Ricans,
hold on, Steve.
Puerto Ricans are not black.
No,
okay?
But they're angry.
Okay, so understand something. And you being a white male makes it a different dynamic, because you don't get the same thing that I get, ever.
But can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I wouldn't treat a black man, and let me say this. While I was married, I had to learn that black men are treated differently in the workplace, and so when they come home, their dynamics are different. And so you have to deal with them because of the gentleness that they need.
Well, all men need that.
Hold on. But I also found out black men are very, very non-compassionate when it comes to their black women.
I don't know.
Because if we can be angry, I can actually. If black women can be angry, I can say that black men can be non-compassionate and non-conforming, and they can also very much so. And they are very, very. They're not as mean-spirited.
My way or the highway.
But they are they're very non-supportive.
Oh God.
When it comes to they don't mind supporting if they're getting something out of it, but they don't want to support if there's nothing in it for them.
I don't know who that is.
Black men.
You know, it's not black men.
Diva, would you say that's black men?
As a person who dated black men and white men and other races, I would have to say that the way the black man handles difficult situations is completely different.
What's
a very
difficult
different
situation in your mind?
Well, let me put it this way. When you look at black men don't come in, black men don't come in and help you in. See that? I see there, Steve.
You should have had the music. That's why I always have music playing for Steve.
Steve, he just slid that in, didn't he?
Yeah.
What did he say?
Black men, he said he would have taken care of you, Diva.
He's old pimp from the South Side.
You mean to tell me all black men are like Sidney Poitier?
No, because he
white guys get Phil Donahue thrown up at us all the time.
And they should.
Just when a black woman is having a problem and she wants to discuss it, black men are not really in tune to want to be all
emotionally
emotional with that.
Not true whatsoever.
And that's why we're angry.
No, you're angry because of this, because you always pick immature men to go after.
Black men don't want to stand up.
I'm going to give you a for instance. I'm trying to tell you. Now, here it is. black women usually pick men based on physical prowess. Usually, either they look good, they're the basketball or the football star, they're this, that, and the other. Now, most women do because women are attracted to power. Whatever their power is, they're attracted to it, whether it's money, whether it's your physical ability, blah, blah, blah. And so that does not always denote maturity. Because I told you, when I was young, I used to like people, but I looked, you know, I was a little skinny, ugly kid. And until I stepped out on the stage, I didn't have no girlfriends, okay? But when the minute I stepped on the stage and they perceived that power, they thought, oh, okay, but here goes the one thing. When you go after that, you don't go for maturity. You don't want the church guy that loves the Lord and he's going to church and trying to be nice every day and build up something. You want the dirty cat, this skullduggery in it, and you go
it's
after him.
It's inconsistent about black men.
That's what you're doing.
I can show you
girl.
Guys that you guys go after the physical physique. You don't want a brain,
yep.
And you don't want somebody that stands on their own 2 feet. Now, hold on.
Where?
Hold on. Now, when you get older and you find out that you were dumber then, but at the time, you would rather have a trophy than a wife.
Who?
Black men.
You show.
Yep.
Now, out of all the
all
people we know,
that way.
I mean, doing that.
Think about it.
Right.
I said, you think about it and then go there and say that again. And you'll see that it's not, you can't
yeah, I can.
Say that. You cannot.
Yeah,
say that.
I can.
Hold on, Jeff. Y'all can sit up here and practically dog black women, but when that mirror is held up to you, you didn't think what you just did or what you were saying about black women was very doggish, but when that mirror is held up to you, you have a problem. Now you're
it's not your fault that you do it like you do it.
And that's
not your
fault
that you do it
you
like
do
you
it like
do
it.
You
and that's just what it is, but you don't want to
it's not your fault you do it like you do it, and it's not our fault that we're angry all the time.
Listen, no, you're angry all the time.
Yeah, it is your
but
fault
thing,
that you're angry all the time. Cause you
yeah,
it's
it
my
angry.
Fault that I'm angry all the time.
Well,
it's not
the
your
thing.
Fault that you're, that you guys are not supportive of the black women.
No, that's not true, though.
It's true.
Well, then tell me how
you've been home with the kids all day. You feel like she shouldn't complain because you went to work all day. Whereas, I'm sorry, but my experience with non-black men has been completely different. If I'm complaining or if my emotions are coming out, it's not a big thing that I'm getting emotional. But black men seem to can't handle black women's emotions.
You
can't handle the emotional stuff.
What black woman you know stays home all day and watches the kids and cooks?
I know several.
Oh, I know several.
Reality in today's world.
Because you guys won't want it, you guys want to make sure that we got a job.
No, that's not true. I made sure mine stayed home.
We're not talking about everybody's personal experience.
But once again, like I keep telling you,
how many
you
guys of your colleagues
speak to immature?
How many of your colleagues, how many other people are around you had the same mindset that they were going to stay home with their children while their husband worked, no matter what?
Almost every – no, I mean you're talking about a man making somebody go. I'm saying that not very men make their wives go to work, okay, in the black community. Okay, they may want them to go to work.
They don't?
No, they don't make them.
They make sure they work it when they get them.
But once again, I feel that that's your fault. Because I think that you picked on the basis of physical prowess versus on maturity, and that's what I think happens all the time.
Not
I
if,
see it
if
happen
you were to,
over and over and over and
but,
over.
But that's
you
not
they
what
all
about
black women, Jeff.
Because I've been teased about the type of guys I typically date because. They're not attractive. They're not athletics. I usually go for the nerdy guy. That's all I used to go for.
Well, that's because you're kind of nerdy.
Whatever
and that didn't
to
turn
you,
out. That didn't turn out
to
over me either.
You are intellectual.
Women,
what'd you say,
women?
Mike? Hold on. What'd you say, not so blind, Mike?
I said, well, that's because of who Diva is. Diva is intellect. She really is. She's a studier and a reader and everything else, so she would not necessarily
let's
go.
Let's not go too far.
But Jeff, it's not just black women. White women in their younger years go for the football players and all that. The nerdy guys get left out. But when they hit about 30, 35 years old and Bubba's still watching the TV
morning,
set and watching a football game, they want to be they want some guy who can fix the washing machine. They want some guy who can pay the bills. And so we all grow that way. But the girls like bad boys because girls have this nurturing side about them in high school where they pick these birds with broken wings they think they can fix. They're the Then they wonder why they're being Tyson in a marriage, because they pick the guy
Thank
who's
you.
Brutal that way.
Excuse me?
But it's not just black women. It's white women do that, too. Puerto Rican women do that, too. It's a phase you go through. And some people accelerate through the phase faster and get serious about their lives, and other people keep making those mistakes over and over again.
Always
and it goes
power, through. And usually when they make
Hell
those
no.
choices, there's no man in the house
they have
for,
done
for them to make a good example of to choose, and they
and
choose
you mean
the wrong
and you mean
man.
But black men are not supportive of black
they
women.
They are very supportive
they
of
are
black
not.
Women. They're very supportive
white,
of black
and
women.
And
as long as they're doing something
not, but not the immature jock.
But the majority of – how many immature jocks are there? You can only have 24 on a basketball team.
It doesn't matter.
No?
It doesn't matter. You have the thugs in the thug community. Okay. Thugs are powerful.
But listen.
And so therefore
the reason,
women
now, hold
do
on.
What?
And so the reason why – now let's take a little history. Let's go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why women go after these powerful men is because 9 times out of 10, they were not raised in a house where a father spoke to
That's
them.
That's what I just
okay.
said.
So, we have to understand that.
Uh-huh.
But the men were actually raised by their mamas.
Some of them.
And the mamas wussified them as they were growing up. And so they look for a woman who's going to do the same thing as their mama did for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we get them, and then they get upset when we don't act like they're the king of the world, and they are non-supportive because their mama didn't make them do anything to be supportive of them.
Every man is just like Jesus. For him to do mighty works, he has to be believed in. If you don't believe in your man, you might as well leave him right now.
But you believe. Hold on. You believe in them, but they still think that you're angry, and you're not angry. All you want is support.
No. You can't. It doesn't work that way. Okay. Once again, a man will do anything for you.
No, they don't.
I said a man will do anything for you if you respect him.
I think the problem is you have a lot of boys perpetrating like men. And if a female
Absolutely.
Doesn't put a difference,
exactly.
was not raised.
I got Luke. Hold on.
The mother skated to him right and left.
Thank you very much.
And you're absolutely correct. That is true. You got a lot of boys perpetrating as men. And that's what you choose. And that's why you always are disappointed.
But see, if a girl was not raised
not
with a man, a real man at home,
angry.
She's not going to know
we're
the difference.
I ain't angry.
We're taught that men are masculine. They'll go to work. They'll take care of you. They'll protect you. But a lot of boys do those things. But there's so much more that comes into play with a man that we were never taught, we were never shown. So how is it our fault if we've never been shown the difference?
You know what, Alex? Hold on.
That's a
huge point. Hold on. I got a friend named Eric. Eric's been in the studio with me. I got Alex going off in the chat room.
May I share with you something I've lived personally?
Yes, please.
When I was a teenager, there was a girl that lived next door to me. Beautiful girl. I mean, absolutely. This girl was incredible. Well, I was always a metalhead. Metallica, Dokken, Megadeth. I mean, I loved heavy metal music. She was curious about heavy metal music. She asked me to borrow one of her tapes, one of my tapes. I think it was either Dokken or Def Leppard. I bring the tape over, knock over to the house. Her mother opens up the door. Oh, I'm tired. This isn't a good time. I'm like, I'm just dropping off a tape because she asked me to. Next thing I know, her so-called mother is starting World War III in my house because my timing was wrong. Meanwhile, unbeknownst to this so-called parent, there was a fellow who was the thuggish type that you made reference to, having his quote-unquote needs met right in the living room, right underneath the so-called parent's nose, and that was never addressed. So I say that to make the following point. As a man who I've never been drunk or high a day in my life in the 43 years I've been on this planet, and if I run across a girl who's too urbanized, quote-unquote, I don't deal. I just don't.
No, wait a minute. Wow. What is the urbanized?
He's saying ghetto. That's the nicest thing. That's his last name, ghetto.
No,
urbanized.
I want to talk about the Ukraine today. Y'all talking
you
about
ain't
the ghetto.
Got no
urbanized
C-O-E.
Means more than ghetto,
you ain't got no C-A-R. You ain't got you ain't got anything doing.
What you say, Diva?
I said, you ain't got no J-O-B, you ain't got no C-A-R, and if you ain't got no, then I ain't got no for you. That's who Eric is running from.
Well,
am I correct?
Exactly.
And the hand was moving. The neck was moving.
And guess what?
That makes sense to me. Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he run away from that?
So
but see, the thing about it is, when I was
getting ready to take a break, but I want I got to ask, are all black women angry?
Well, no, I wouldn't say all, but let's just, well, here's another thing I ran into. And this is when I was working in an office downtown. If I hear a girl say X, and I say it's ask, here I am the color of coffee with heavy cream, and I'm labeled a racist. I got no.
You're a sellout on Uncle Tom for saying that, Amanda. You better go to the library, and you better ask a question.
No, but
I wouldn't want to sweep it.
Wow, he's very picky.
No, that's not picky.
What's wrong with asking a question?
You can't ask no questions.
Why can't you ask
because
a question?
Because if you do that, you'll cut it all up. You won't be able to figure out what
I'm
you're
just
doing.
See, if you, have a question, feel free to ask me. Come at me with an axe and pull my nine and take you out.
But why can't I ask you something? I want to know that.
Because that sounds unpolished.
That's very
Let me be asking his name.
That's very specific.
That's very specific. You shouldn't be like that.
Isn't Illinois on the Pacific?
No, that's Detroit.
Oh, okay. That's all right.
That was so silly. That was so silly.
Woo!
Thought all that.
Whoa. You know, they're going to get letters.
We're done. Lots of letters. Like I say.
Better check underneath the car when you leave the studio. I'm just saying.
If you didn't, yes. If you paid attention, it wouldn't be so much.
Urbanized
is a pretentious term.
I wonder if guys have that problem, like white men have that problem. Do they see?
Diva, let Mike in just a second. I got to take a break, so let Mike in the next minute.
Urbanized does not mean ghetto. Urbanized is a pretentious term that women who call themselves elitist, sophisticated, use that term to rationalize their worldview that the world is flat and made by Sealy Posturepedic. And they justify their behavior saying, well, we're sophisticated, and that's where that term urbanized women come from.
Mike, you didn't go too far. Mike, you didn't go too far. You had to be in the moment. Your urbanized definition was not the definition that Eric was quite talking about.
Well, Diva actually translated it quite right. I'll tell you what troubles me on many of the statements made here. Got to take the word all out, because you can't say about all black women, all black men, or all anybody. So you got to say a high correlation.
You already said all black women are angry.
No, I didn't say all of them, because
we
all
are angry.
I'm all angry, so I want y'all to know, I'm going to take a break, and I want you to know something. Your wives, when you get home this afternoon, they all going to be mad, because I'm going to call all of them.
I'm not mad. Nobody wants me. So
I'm going to let y'all understand what an angry black woman is, because I'm going to tell everybody
Remember, the next time you hear Tracy holler at me and say, get that from the mic. Understand, that's an angry black woman.
That's angry.
Because you can say, Jeff, why don't you pull
back? Well, at least the conversation was
don't do that.
Because I should only have to tell you once a day.
No, I'm not. Why should you only have to tell me? I'm a human being. I can make a mistake. Why should
you
have to
tell me? But you yell at people all the time. Does that make you an angry black man?
No, it doesn't, because that's still not. Obviously, it didn't
back.
It obviously didn't change. Well, I'm up over it. But once again,
back up.
Obviously, it didn't work, right?
And it ain't working.
So why
I'm not your wife, but I know I can be angry.
But you're angry black woman.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown.
The secret to winning in a relationship is deciding that ending the argument is more important than winning it.
That's true.
It's true.
But I have a question. See, because what Eric said about black women is very, very profound. Do white men look at white women differently, meaning is she too white for me, or she's too country bumpkin, or do you guys do that?
No, I don't.
Well, I think we all do to some degree. That's how we select who we finally end up with, because we look at the other people.
What I'm saying
you know,
is
the
who you categorize
years, you know?
By their demographic of where they lived or they grew up.
I know what you mean, Mike. What she's saying is, you hear black women or black men say this. Well, you know, he's too black for this, or not black enough, or whatever. And it doesn't really even deal with skin tone. It deals with personality.
But we do that in our community also, because I remember growing up. Why aren't you like her? She's too Italian, meaning she's too much in the ways of the Italian. You know. Or she's too Jewish or whatever. We used to say this about women that we were thinking about. Nah, she's too Jewish, you know.
Okay, you know what? Nobody says that. Yeah, that is. You're right. We do that. Yeah, you're right.
We do. That's what I'm saying. To say all and put a further definitive adjective to pigeonhole saying all black or all white or all Puerto Rican just doesn't lend itself to this conversation, because you can't use the word all of anybody. Because
of dating both white men and black women.
Yeah.
I mean, Lord, have mercy, black men and white men, that there is a difference.
Yeah.
There is a difference in how conversation goes. There's a difference of how the problems are handled.
Yeah. And the one black girl I dated, we never had an argument ever.
I've never had arguments with white men for some reason that we just never really got into arguments. We'll get into disagreements. But it never would get to the point where we're screaming and yelling at each other.
Because she was secure in her identity. And when I messed up, it wasn't a personal attack. It was just something she preferred I didn't do. And that comes. And then she came to me with a whole different dynamic, and vice versa. And it was like, you know, I didn't think of it that way. Sorry. You know, and that was it. It was just like, you know, I'm unhappy, but not I'm angry. And it was a whole different dynamic. And what ultimately split us up, and this goes back to when I was younger in college and stuff, and in the 70s, we sat there one day and thought the world sucked. I knew what it was to be picked on for being a disabled person. She knew what the black experience was like. We loved each other dearly. We both wanted family. And we just said, there's no way we're bringing kids into this screwed-up world. And that's why we parted, because we loved each other too much, and we would love our children too much.
And I was thinking the same thing in 1998 when I was dating. I had my high school sweetheart. We dated for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about marriage after college or sometime later down the line. But then living in Youngstown and being in that, when my family accepted we're dating, but they still had a problem with it. His family never accepted us dating.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to the point where I was like, I don't want to bring a child into this, because I could not see where we are now.
Exactly.
And that's what broke us up. But, man, I mean, just the dynamics of dating outside my race, like black women typically it's a general consensus that they will not date outside their race, no matter how poorly they are treated. They will not do it. But for me, it's like it doesn't matter about – I don't date white men just because they're white. I date them because that's who is attracted to me and who I typically attract. And they're, you know, and it just so happens we tend to gravitate toward each other. But the dynamic is so different, whereas we can sit and have a conversation about – the black and white issues, and he didn't take that as me being angry. But if I sit there and I have a conversation with a black man about race and my concerns about things, I'm considered angry.
Yeah.
That's what they're getting this angriness from. If a woman comes out and tries to talk about her problems, talk about her situations, she's angry. Then you don't want to hear it. You don't want to listen. I get that. We get that you worked all day. We truly do. We get that you work. You come home. But the fact is, we've dealt with something too. And being that we are emotional creatures, we can't just tamp that down and deal with it later. We have to deal with it then. So I think instead of men respecting the fact that, okay, women are emotional, they need to talk, they need to have a conversation for the most part, they don't want to deal with it because I'm a man and, you know, I just need my time. When you get into that realm of, it to us is inconsideration. You're being inconsiderate of how I'm feeling right now. You want me to respect who you are as a man and how you are wired, but you're being inconsiderate of me. And then that's when the arguments start. Because, any woman who is feeling like she's not appreciated or she's inconsiderate, or a man is being inconsiderate towards her feelings,
she's going to get pissed off.
Yeah,
I don't know how white women are, but black women, we get pissed off. You're going to end up having World War III.
But that's my fundamental argument with Dr. John Gray when he wrote the book, Women Are from Venus and Men Are from Mars. You read that book. The guy is supposed to come home, and no matter what his day was like, he's supposed to walk through the door ready to hear everything that's on her mind. And that's not a relationship then. John Gray doesn't get laid enough. That's my honest feeling.
Are you ever saying he was wrong when he said that?
Hey, how about it's mutual? You get to read your man, and if your man is a high wire lineman, and he spends his life all day long, his work a day all day, risking his life, and he just had a friend who got killed on the job that morning. We read his face when he walks through the door, and he really doesn't care that the dry cleaner lost your favorite dress.
That's true. That is true. You're right. You said something very significant there, mutual. We need to learn how to read our significant others.
Yeah.
The guy that I'm dating, he has a very demanding job with his business. He's running his own business, and is very demanding. So even if I'm having a bad day and he'll call me, most of the time we're talking about his day. Because nothing really has gone on too bad in my day to where I have to say, wait a minute, I need to, no, you need to hear me out. So what you said was very key, mutual understanding.
Yeah, even my mother could read me. So I guess I was looking for someone like my mother, not because I'm a mama's boy, but I'll never forget, I had a job
mm-hmm,
when I was
18. Mm-hmm.
I was 19 years old and walked to the door. That day, one guy did get killed at work. And because
Princeton
I was
friends,
alone,
here on WSLM AM 600, the number is 347-945-5229.
This is the song to play when you're arguing.
And I'm Eric Wells with the National Rifle Association. Glad to be with you all this morning.
Hi there, folks. How are you?
Alone, if you feel
we play
like
the William Tell overture out here. That's how we end our argument.
Clap along if you feel like happiness is a truth. Clap along if you Black men don't give black women a warm fuzzy. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229.
Say that when Tyrese and them is on TV again, man. You may not
listen.
Tyrese wrote the book with the preacher name? Reverend Run. Yeah, Reverend Run and Tyrese wrote this book supposedly on dating. Didn't have nothing to do with real dating because it's craziness. Oh, yeah.
Hey, we got some new callers in the queue. It is 8 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. I was trying to get to go to Russia and the Ukraine.
Yes,
personal
because I'm John Kerry.
Leave John Kerry alone.
I can't stand John Kerry.
Why? He was going to be your president.
He wasn't going to be my president.
He was going to be your president if Bush hadn't pulled it off.
Hey, the Swift voter Swift voted him down, thank God, and he's done.
347, your mic is on.
Hey there, folks. I'll be brief about the differences in the sexes. There are some actual biological, of course, differences, hormonal differences. Things get more complex because what you will find is some women have more male hormones and some males have more female hormones. But compounding that is the fact that we often are taught by various philosophical religions that men are supposed to act one way, women are supposed to act another, and that even makes it worse. It's going to be hard to bring the two groups together when we are taught many erroneous concepts, in my opinion, without any consideration for biology or genetics.
So does that make all black women angry?
No, I think black women have a valid position when it comes to anger because they're not only female in a sexist system, but they're also brown skin in a racist system. But what many of them don't factor in is that even though that is the case, in America and imperial nations, the black female is put over the black male in most cases. So you will find, for example, I know many colleagues, their wife is less experienced, less skilled, but she has the majority of the income. The brother is doing, sometimes if he's fortunate to have income, jobs that are way below his pay grade. But this was similar on the plantation. The black female was very off. And I'm not saying they have it easy by no means, but it's one of the problems we have. We have the religious aspect that men should be on top of women, the women should be home cooking, cleaning, and pushing out the babies. And an intelligent woman who may be home says, well, hey, wait a minute, you know, I've got some brain power also. So we have many issues, but talks like this are a good opportunity to at least hear other people's views, and hopefully we can all, you know, continue growing.
But now let me ask this. Are black women angry? Because I mean, the young lady and I don't believe that I'm angry. I don't have, I have nothing to be angry about. I'm not in a relationship with nobody, so why am I angry with somebody?
Yeah, most of the women in my life do have anger issues, and they range from doctors to people who are just going into high school. So I find it in my personal life, yes. But what would help is meditation, martial arts, adjusting the diet, et cetera. That won't cure the sexist and racist issues and the just the bad men, because they exist, of course, probably a preponderance of the brothers. But, yeah, I think there's a black angry woman issue, but there's also a black angry man issue. A lot of us have a lot of drama, and we're angry that women often don't understand. The politicians don't care, even though they promise to change. And the system itself ignores us, and when we say we have an issue, they say we're complaining, raising the race card, but meanwhile they can talk about September 11th and the Pilgrims for 1,000 years.
Excellent point, my friend, because
black men are angry. Let me say this. Are men as compassionate and as supportive as they should be?
Generally, I don't think we are. But I also don't think sisters are as supportive as they should be, even though typically at times they're the ones generally holding down the fort, potentially, or with the children. But I don't think they understand the drama that us black men go through. I go through it every day, and I try to convince the women in my life, listen, can you just hear me? And usually the response is blah, blah, blah. So it's a challenge. If we love each other as both or mothers and sons or sibling to sibling, and we understand the historic nature of psychic trauma, et cetera, then what we do is understand our own frustration, but also when our mate is tripping out or our mother, then we can say, okay, this is just something that's going to require, if not psychiatric help, my limited understanding of psychiatry to help us get through this challenge, because we should be working together as opposed to fighting when we're already in the middle of a war against us. It's two wars at one time. The system's attacking us. We're attacking. Imagine a war. One team being attacked. And they're fighting each other. That's what we have.
So let me ask you this. How about when I have what makes a difference when I'm in a relationship or I marry someone who's outside of my race?
Wow.
But why is that dynamic so different? Because I'll marry a white man and not have the same angry woman man syndrome.
In fact, I found something when I was dating a white lady from France. She was totally understanding and empathetic, and it was kind of odd because I thought, the sisters aren't like this. But when you talk like that, people make the assumption that you are racist or self-hating. How do we get over this? I see nothing wrong with inter skin color, not interracial, because we're all Homo sapien from Africa, but different skin colors mixing. As long as both groups, you know, love each other and can work together, and as long as the white person doesn't think, now there's no racism because I married you, because then it's a thing of, that's the Obama problem. When Obama won, all racism ended right there, and I thought, ain't happening.
Not at all.
You're like the people on the Guinness commercial. Brilliant!
He put that very well.
You put it very well. I mean, and I tried to intimate that earlier because I put that out. Because here it is.
But you didn't say all black men were angry.
All black men are not angry necessarily. They are vexed. They're vexed because what happens is nobody believes in us, day or night. See, we're dealing with a double entendre here.
And one believes in us.
Yes. Yeah, we believe in
black men?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't believe in us.
That's not
what you want from us.
That's not true.
No, no. The stereotype of black women is they're the strong partner in the relationship. That's almost a stereotype.
True enough.
Sitcoms and everything.
You're choosing immature men, okay, to be around.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, that's what you're choosing because, listen, my wife could do whatever she wants to do. I may not even know how to support her that well. But I'm going to support her, whatever she wants to do, because I know who she is, okay? I'm not standing in her way. I'm not going to try to stop her from attaining.
We're not talking about stopping her from attaining. We're talking about being supportive when she comes back in.
I'm
supporting her at home or making sure that she doesn't have to do when black women go
work.
Oh, no. When black women go to – when black men go to school, black women support them. When black men go get where they want to go, black men go find something else. Ask OJ's wife.
I'm sorry. That's like saying, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Yeah. I mean, I did all the work and I did all the studying. Then I don't understand that. I don't get that.
I'm Presbyterian. Are you going to assume that I'm an expert golfer just because I'm Presbyterian?
What does Presbyterian have to do with
golf? We don't know.
But I'm saying it's a stereotype. You know, what people would make that assumption.
Huh?
Okay. Go ahead.
Presbyterian, Scottish golf.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
You
don't
okay.
think that it's a stereotype that to say that all black women are angry?
That's what I tried to tell all you before. Stop
we keep trying to say this like,
category.
Diva, it's not stereotype. I'm not saying that all black women are angry. But generally, the attitude of black women is this. They will treat the black man like they see the white man treat him. Because that's what she knows. We were taken from our culture, and we were not respected ever in this country. We came here in a place of disrespect, and just like the gentleman said, the black woman was always put in a better position than the black man. And
I'm confused because on one hand,
you talk about
the females who take care of their men. And do everything for their man,
like
let the man lay up
calls.
Under them and everything else, and now it's something completely different.
No,
I need to bring up. I need to bring up seven calls.
Go ahead, bring them up.
Okay. 718, your mic is on.
Yes, this is Amenti. Hi, everyone.
How are you?
Hello.
Hi. Excuse me. I just want to comment and speak my perception really quick about relationships in general, not just the race thing. But one thing that I have learned is that it's about balance and learning how to, consider one another and also knowing how to be in the now and knowing how to talk to one another. Because I had to learn to stop screaming and talking like a maniac, and I had to tell him to stop talking to me like that. So it takes little steps like that. Me personally growing up, my mom was extremely neurotic. She came home, she screamed and yelled about work all day. We had to suffer. I had to suffer. We just all had to suffer when she came home from work. We didn't get hugs. We didn't get kisses because of what she experienced at work. And my father my stepdad even had to experience the same type of madness. So this is my personal experience, and I'm saying this because sometimes we don't see what we do to the other person. Sometimes we can be very selfish and not see it, and this is just my personal perception about relationships. If you wake up in the morning and his clothes is everywhere and he went to work, the man went to work. Just clean it up. It's not a big deal. I'm sure you put your makeup on and your makeup is everywhere and he just cleans it up. You understand what I'm saying? Just little stuff. Dumb stuff. He leaves the toilet seat up. Just put it down. No need to argue about it. So it's about learning how to be balanced and learning the person that you're with. And one more thing. One thing about the person I'm with, he's cranky as hell when he comes from work. But when he takes a shower, he feels much better. You know? And he's like, and when he gets up like that, I say, hey, did you take a shower? He's like, do I stink? And I say, yes, your attitude stinks. You need to take a shower because I don't like your attitude right now. So it's little, it takes time to get to know people, and I think that's the steps that have to be taken. And we have to learn how to balance.
A lucky man.
You have to learn how to balance, the feminine masculine energy within you. And I learned this from an elder. This was an elder man who taught me this. And it took time, but I put my foot down, and it takes one person, believe it or not, it takes one person, and I was the one to say, look, we have to stop hurting one another, we have to stop talking to one another like this, and I even took the time to even look at how he was raised and how I was raised, and we just had to stop hurting one another, and I think that that's a part of the issue.
And that's exactly what I agree with everything she said. I said that was part. That was part of the issue, was the fact that nobody sits down and gives relationships time anymore. And once you give it that time and work through it, things get better.
Wow. If this is the new generation of black woman, Tracy, things are changing.
Like I said, her husband's a very lucky. Her husband's a very lucky man.
Well, it's
and again,
it's
but it's, hold on. But there is there's a learning curve that goes with this, and that's something that you have to know. Because if you're coming out of a home that does not have a husband and wife relationship in it, and no one has taught you this, you don't know. And most young ladies, if you have 72% of your households being raised by single-parent homes, you don't see that. So you really don't understand and or know any of that. And so that's something that we really need to be, you know, mindful of.
We don't have in place the communal upbringing, meaning you have cultures where the people come together, they celebrate, they share knowledge. Our community, since the transatlantic slave trade, has lost that elderly communal sense. It's typically each person for him or herself, or each couple make it or lose it. And if we can't get back to some kind of let's sit and have a chat. For example, I did a graphic recently that indicates we spend more time eating chicken and dancing for holidays than we do sitting having a family meeting, right? So how are
That's
we
true.
Going to solve problems if we know more dance steps, no disrespect to choreographers, than we know about interpersonal and intrapersonal relationships? We're not working hard enough to fix our issues, and often we depend on the preacher, the pastor, or the politician, some of whom are good, but most of whom are capitalistic in their mindset.
Well, I think the Christian faith has been so marginalized. Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off, Tracy. I think the Christian faith has been so marginalized that real wholesale mockeries have been made of the kind of transcendent plenary moral truths that used to be expounded on brilliantly, consistently, intransigently in these pulpits for decades and decades and generations. What happened was black America, I'll just use black America as an example, underwent a regrettable paradigm shift in the 60s and early 70s. Liberalization, you know, you've had people walking around here, you know, feminism has not been a friend to black America. Progressivism has not been a friend to black America. And the black America has been duped. As Malcolm said, we've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok. I'll give you a great example. The same black person that would ride past a Confederate flag and be outraged would not think twice about riding past an abortion clinic, despite the fact that since the infamous Roe v. Wade decision, 18 million black people were needlessly killed in the womb versus merely 3,446 that were regrettably lynched between 1882 and 1968. Liberalism has been exponentially deadlier than any conservative or traditionalist entity or force.
And it's destroyed the basics
of your
family and community.
But going back to conversation and having a conversation, we are not taught to talk.
I was.
But very few are. Very few people are taught to talk.
You said needlessly aborted. You said
needlessly
aborted. Progressive thought it was necessary.
What did you say, Eric?
I have to create a segue here.
I said he said needlessly aborted. The progressives didn't see it that way. To them, they needed to be aborted.
But
yeah,
that's because of their agenda. But trying to convince people
Thank
that
you.
Their agenda is going to kill them and make them extinct is very, very difficult because we haven't learned to talk. We haven't learned to communicate effectively. Even when we have conversations, we don't listen to one another.
Margaret Sanger, who was the founder of Planned Parenthood, went
right
on record
that.
As saying, and these are her – I'm sorry?
No, I was agreeing with Tracy. That is very true. Communication – is the biggest thing. Not listening, someone wanting to always be right, someone speaking for what other people are saying, because a lot of times that's the case as well. That is the cause of a lot of issues in relationships.
And I need to know how to, even when you go to choose someone, you know, just as you're just choosing, you know, immature men.
Immature guys.
But you're trying to tell me, you're looking at what my immaturity is, but what I may be attracted to may not be the immaturity of the person. It may be the sensitivity of the person, whether it be immature or not. And what I'm saying is, if you do not have the support system around you in which you don't have, because we don't support one another,
That's true.
One another in our families. We don't support one another in our community. We don't support one another in our family unit. And then you kind of tell, well, you know, you choose immature people. Well, you used to have family members around you that would come and tell you and say to you, you can't go here and actually fight them and tell them to go away.
But
you don't have that now.
Immature
because of the advent of liberalism and the general dumbing down of the population.
Would you say, Mike?
I'm saying, to who do you know that's immature and sensitive? That's an oxymoron. Sensitivity is a higher level of development.
You missed my point. You missed my point, Mike.
Okay.
What I'm saying, because Jeff was making a point about my choosing immature men, like he knows me. But what I'm saying is, the people that I'm around,
mm-hmm.
and I look at them and I'm like, wow, your wives need to have a trophy. Because they deal with you, and I see how you treat them.
Tracy, I want to offer you a segue to help you here right now.
I'm going to break. What did you say, Amelia?
I just want to say that that's also perception. Because someone can say to me, oh, your man is immature because he plays video games, but yet this man gets up 4 o'clock in the morning to provide for his family and put food on the table. You see what I'm saying? So I don't care if he plays video games. You see, I think it's about perception. You know, people are always going to say what they perceive on the outside looking in. And that doesn't mean that they're right or wrong. It's not about that, but that's what it's about too. Because some people that, you know, we look at them, we'll be like, I think my stepdad is a total asshole. And I, you know, and it's a lot of things about him. My mom still was still with a man like that, but at the same time, that's her vibration. That's who she attracted. So it's not really about right or wrong. It's just perception, in my opinion. Yeah.
And after the break, we're going to discuss. Do you think Putin was raised by an angry black woman, and that explains the Ukraine?
Mike,
Tracy
Mike.
Can get back on subject here.
Mike, I'm not going to the Ukraine in the last 30 minutes. So you might as well just turn the page.
You've been trying to do it for an hour and a half, and I'm trying to help you, Tracy.
Mike,
there's your angry black women lashing out now.
I'm not going to the Ukraine in the next 30 minutes. I only got 30 minutes to go. I'm taking a break. I'm not going to Russia, even though Carrie's in Russia having a conversation about Russia.
Carrie.
I'm not doing it. I'll talk to you guys in a minute.
Do you depend on your computer?
Oh, my gosh, Mike, that was funny.
I tried to create a segue to get her off this topic because she keeps about to talk about Russia. I gave her a perfect opening. And after the break, we come back. We're going to discuss, was Putin raised by an angry black woman? And does that explain his actions in the Ukraine? And now we'll
I think the conversation was going well on this topic, so you were going to hijack, man. We're going to have to arrest you.
I think it was, too. And I would just like to say to Amelia,
Amenti.
How do you pronounce your name?
Amenti, yeah.
Amenti. Okay, Amenti,
right.
I'm sorry.
Amenti.
I was raised by a neurotic mother as well. She's still neurotic.
But
my
said
thing
that
was,
balance word.
I,
remember early on,
but I learned
balance.
How not to be like her by watching her even at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
And,
if I dated a guy who came from the same neuroticism, our conversations and our dynamic towards each other were different. We both tended to be neurotic towards each other. My ex-husband never came from that. So when we met, I knew to talk to him in a different way, be more gentle, be more sympathetic, empathetic. Our dynamic, our discussions were different. Now it just so happens after we got married and things went left, and then, like you said, I had to tell myself, look, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that way.
And if I'm not that way, then he'll learn not to be that way either. Sometimes even in discussing that and changing your actions doesn't necessarily result in the outcome that you want, because unfortunately we still ended up in divorce. But that was a great point that you made, and it all does come with balance. It's significant, and I think we should stop looking at it in terms of
in the morning and goes to work. So what if he plays a few video games? You know, there's
right.
The battle.
And so what if you – I mean, who argues over the toilet seat? I have a hard time believing that people really do argue over the toilet seat and the toothpaste.
I do, too.
Off the toothpaste.
You know what? We do it in a joking manner over here now instead of getting all upset about it, like if it's a toilet seat thing, which really is nothing. You know, it's not a huge deal. But there will be a joke about it, and that's usually – you know, that's how we get our clues from each other, is just kind of joke about it instead of scream and argue.
Early on in my marriage,
do you really think
it's
about the toothpaste or the toilet seat, or do you think something more is really actually going on?
Well, Diva, let me tell you how we resolved it in my marriage. Early on, it was starting to become an issue. And with me being blind, I just went to her one day with logic she couldn't argue with. I said, if I'm going to make a mistake, would you rather I make the mistake of putting it down or picking it up? When you're blind and trying to aim.
You know,
that ended the argument. She was ever so grateful to find it up all the time.
our thing's over, you know, like I was, and I'm not going to go over what issues I had with her, but my thing was I'm an alcoholic. You know, not the fall down crazy alcoholic, but I used to drink a lot back in the day. And that was a major issue, a fight between us. And we figured out a way to where I, you know, I got it under control. I still drink, but I don't do nearly what I used to do because I understand what it was doing, and I'm able to keep it under control. If it starts to get a little bit, you know, left to center there, she will bring me back down to, you know, hey, you know what, I just can't have this, and it immediately is corrected. But we don't scream about it anymore, and that was key. That was key to getting it under control and you know, having something in common to where we could solve the problem.
Hey,
also,
Matt,
I tell you,
how
man, just don't sweat the small stuff.
Really,
okay, I mean,
see how insidious racism is. Okay, when you find terms like what you just said, the put down of the progressive movement. If something's going wrong, it's always going left of center.
I did that on purpose,
Mark.
I have to ask the question. When you say don't sweat some small stuff, yeah, I get you don't – no need to argue over a toilet seat and a tube of toothpaste, not putting a cap on a toothpaste or putting a toilet paper the way you like. But I'm asking myself, is it really about those things or is it something bigger?
Now, sometimes
a
it
person
is because
– angry.
I think it's something bigger.
When you get into – the psychology of yourself, because mainly with black people, black families especially, don't want to deal with psychology, don't want to deal with therapy. Is there something about it that's just, it don't want to deal with it? But I think everyone should look into it, even if you read books to just help and heal yourself. You don't have to sit down and talk to no one. My thing is that what I find is that if we don't get over the hang-ups in our childhood or in our lives, we carry that into our relationships. And this is why relationships turn into what they are, because you'll look deep inside yourself and realize, oh, my God, I'm still looking for love from my mom. I'm still looking for love from my dad through this person. Or the both of you have daddy issues or mom issues, and you're doing the same thing to one another. So from my experience, it took me to start looking inside myself to see what is the issue with me. Why? Because a lot of times the issue you have in your relationship is yourself, honestly, and that's a very true statement. And I had to look inside of myself, and I had to say, you know what, I'm my mother. I'm attracting my mother in this relationship, the way he's yelling all the time, the way all this stuff is going on. I have to find a way to fix this, and that's what I did.
I heard a guy say something one time. He said that, you know, there's a lot in that fellow there that I don't like about myself.
Huh?
You know, and sometimes we see things in other people that we see in ourselves, and we don't want to, you know,
deal with it.
That's where the psychic trauma comes in for people of African American descent, and even Native Americans and Irish. Our ancestors have experienced such insane levels of, you know, genocide, rape, etc. Some of that is carrying over into us. Not only that, but our parents and grandparents repeat some of the same self-fulfilling self-hate terms, making fun of people's hair, kinky hair, big nose, dark skin, blah, blah, blah. But it's also, I know some of you may not agree with this, but much of it is perpetuated religiously, teaching, for example, that black folks come from the sin of Ham, teaching that slavery, oh, slave, be obedient to your master. No, slave, kick the master's butt. So we got to really look back and say, well, at what point did we become spiritual? Was it on the slave ship, or was it deep in Africa when we were in Kemet and when we had our own kingdoms that the Greeks and then the Romans took and migrated a bit of Hebrew and created new texts, and then, of course, Islam came later.
See, for me, I don't think it goes that far back. I think, at least with the young women in my generation and my own experiences, you are dealing with, I don't know if it's true of Caucasian people, but the atrocities that happen to young black girls starting at young ages. I mean, I can't name a friend who has not been molested or raped.
Mm-hmm. She's right about that. I was just about to say that. Mm-hmm.
And because the African-American community does not believe in psychology, we grow up with those things. Me, on the other hand, I was fortunate that I got psychiatric help at a young age to where it helped me later in life. That didn't say it fixed everything, but we don't deal with those things, and a lot of black men are not seeing or understanding that I was touched by my uncle and my mother's boyfriend, and she did nothing about it. She blamed me, or I was raped. And
when Tracy said there's
no compassion, sometimes there isn't. I had a guy who told me, well, you shouldn't have did what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how are you going to blame me as a kid that make it as if my fault? That's when she talked about lack of compassion. This is the stuff, because black females tend to grow up with a lot of baggage, a lot of issues, and you cannot expect her to function normally as a woman who has never had those same issues or those same problems.
And
a young lady grew up without her
father,
she's not going
to
function normally as a female who grew up with both parents in the home. She's not going to function as that woman.
No, it doesn't. Let me say something. It does not matter. Mom, see, that's what people get mixed up. Just because you have mom and dad there, it doesn't mean that you will grow up much better than the person who was growing up in a single home. It's about love. It's about consideration. To this day, I'm 30 years old, and I still have resentment towards my mother. I honestly sit here and say I still have it, and I'm working with that. Because going back to what you said, yes, a lot of our pain came from our mothers, because women are taught to hate other women. And so mothers projected that onto their daughters, especially those of us who mothers had us at 15, 16 years old. We blame for every goddamn thing. We would like the sacrifice in the family because we're girls and we did this, we did that. My mother, I had a nice body. Girls, take away your body, the way you look, and all this stupidness. And this is a part of the separation. And this is why it has turned into what it is, where women are like, I don't need a man and all this kind of stuff, because Diva is right. It does start from there, because many of us as young women, we have been abused by our own mothers, by the women in our family. It's not our fault. We may have looked a certain way. It's not our fault that we're girls, and you understand what I'm saying? And like she said, she was molested and she got blamed for it. Like, that's the type of trauma that many black women have experienced, and nobody talks about that.
As a male that has survived sexual and physical and emotional abuse as a child and teen, I can say that the challenge is bigger, because most men won't say it or talk about it because it's not considered manly, especially in the black community, you know.
But you can't go to the Ukraine unless you're happy, and today was just a crazy day.
Jeff,
why do you do that?
He's out of the 1930s.
He looks like it.
You see him run up the steps of the airplane.
He thought he was Obama.
At least he doesn't talk like this. I have seen.
What is wrong with you guys?
We want food.
Leave John Kerry alone.
We want Putin.
Don't mess with John Kerry. John Kerry, Pharrell Williams.
We want Putin for president.
You know what?
No.
Sarah Palin said that Putin wrestles bears and Obama wears mom jeans. So, which one would you rather have?
Putin doesn't play. I tell you what, a lot of people have these nightmarish notions of some, you know, a bunch of latter-day opryshnikis on steroids going in ravishing people. I tell you what, Putin has...
Didn't I tell y'all we're not going to Putin? We only got 20 minutes. Y'all just want to go.
Sorry.
No, you can't.
Putin won't even get his 15 minutes of fame
but
today.
But you can't get there. I got to pull Stanley in. Hi, Stanley.
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
438, your mic is on.
Yes. I'm just listening for now, Tracy. I'm just... Tracy, the only thing I want to add to this is I'm hearing that, yeah, that you got, that some black women get mad and things like that, but I really believe in personal accountability or personal responsibility. If you get mad, why is it my business as a black man to accept that you're getting mad or accept that you had some issue in the past or if this and that? If you got all those things, you got to go fix yourself first. That has nothing to do with me. And you should have the responsibility and the honesty with yourself to say, you know what, if I'm yelling at my man, do not be surprised that your man will leave you.
Stanley, you're missing something. You're missing something, sir. I hear what you're saying. Of course, it's about responsibility, accountability. We got all that. But go listen to what we just said. When you have been, you could be physically abused all day. You can get over that. Physical abuse, you can get over that. You can get tougher and beat somebody up. But mental abuse goes into your soul. It's psychological. And if you're not aware of the mental abuse that you've endured as a child or whatever you endured, you carry that on into your adult life. So I hear what you're saying. We're not making excuses for anything. You heard everything I said here. I took responsibility. But what I'm saying is how many other black women out here probably are going through this and don't know? I don't even realize that this is a part of what's going on because, again, black people don't go to psychologists. They don't go to therapists. We just don't.
They don't talk.
That's something. They don't talk. You understand? That's a secrecy. What goes on in this house stays in this house. Is that not something we always heard for most of our lives? So this is a part of why we take on this pain and this stuff is going on. This is why you got what's going on right now. Single mothers, women, men and women who can't get along, angry black women or whatever you want to call them, independent women, because this is a part of it.
And Stanley, we're not making an excuse. What we're saying is the conversation came up because Jeff, I think, brought up that all black women are angry.
Yeah, but not in that
way.
Oh, no. And what we're saying is we thought it was a little rude because I'm a woman and I ain't angry. So
but your attitude toward black men is a negative one.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Men are idiots. You got to understand, men are idiots. Once you've been dealing with them for some time, they're idiots. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. And I'm going to defend Tracy on that part.
You can't defend Tracy on that one because guess what? You always, 99 out of 99% choose the wrong doggone man. And number two,
and
you
y'all know.
Let me tell you something. I don't care how wonderful and beautiful he is. He's still an idiot. Right, Tracy? No matter how beautiful and great of a man they are, men are idiots. They really are.
She's making my point. Both of you are making your point because guess what? I still win. I have the upper hand. I get what I want. And you have to understand that because you are so predictable that you allow yourself to get run like that, that's why you get run.
And when
I don't think you get it.
You
I'm,
won't
I'm
take
really
your time. And, wait a minute, sis. Wait a minute.
Wait
you
a minute.
Won't take your time and make a sane, a thinking, rational decision on who to be with and
can
who
I
not
ask,
to be
hold
with.
On, can I ask,
but if you
question?
Never experience a man in the household, you don't have a clue as to what a real man
you.
Is supposed to be.
I agree
how
with
are
you,
you
and you'll continue
to
not to have
decision.
One of you let your girlfriends dictate the cadence of how you deal with
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Now, your girlfriend equation, that's a whole other show. I think she's going to stay out of people's business.
I do too.
But
if you
got to refer to the girlfriend if she likes your mate, then you got a problem.
The girlfriend will. This is what a girlfriend will do. She will tell you how terrible he is and what he ain't doing right. And the next minute, when you let him go, she'll be right there.
Yep.
Clean up, woman.
Oh no,
is a woman do.
Pardon me?
There isn't necessarily anything wrong with anger. It's as though if a white group that's racist tells black people, what are you angry about? Anger is a natural response when we are in danger or when someone is over. The problem is misplaced anger and not talking about the anger. What is making you angry? So I think it's okay to be angry. It's just that it could be destructive if we don't fix it and identify the problem. It may be us, or it may be our mate, or it could be a system.
And disrespect. As far as that goes, because once again, the relationship man and woman is a man has to be believed in or else he will not perform for you.
But a woman has to feel protected, and if she will not, she will not respect.
She's not going
to
be there. She doesn't feel protected.
How can you protect her when every time she turns around twice, she's flagging problems and flagging drama and inciting all that kind of stuff? I mean, I've been with those kind of girls, too, and had to let them know. What you have done in your past is fine, but you'll not bring it to me. I'm not paying for that stuff.
But when we say protection, we need to have confidence in your word.
Here, you're not going to be attracted. We're not even going to get that far with you if you don't already feel like you can be there. Because you're not going to waste the time.
You can't act civilized.
You're not going to waste the time with me if you don't think that you could possibly be there.
That's not true.
Oh, yeah.
Not today, Jeff.
Oh, no, yeah.
No, Tracy,
to add to what you're saying, Tracy, to add to what he's saying, you're not supposed to look at us. You're supposed to look at yourself and see what I could do to improve the relationship. Stop looking at the other guy and look at yourself first. Because you have tendency of saying that I need to trust the other guy. No, you need to look at yourself and see what do I need to do to make it the best relationship.
And that's how a whole lot of women end up
taking
care
of men. At some point, you've got to say, I got to do this.
And that's why I got a man sleeping in my basement.
And it's,
exactly.
And it's really okay. If you're
taking care
of a man.
Yeah, but you chose to have that man sleeping in the basement.
I'm doing what I
thought
as a woman.
A gun to your head,
and I'm only looking at myself, but I'm not looking at him. That's
so
how he ends up laying up on the couch doing nothing.
You know what? You deserve that if that's what's going on.
No, let me.
You don't allow that.
If you put up with it, you will end up with it.
If you're only looking at yourself and only worrying about yourself and what you're doing, that's exactly how that happens.
Wait a minute. You act like the bros don't lie.
No, we're not saying that. Brothers do lie.
They'll go through a whole
Sensible decisions. We're talking about sensible. A man is laying up on the couch not doing nothing that's not sensible. Listen to what I'm saying, Jeff. Okay, go ahead.
Brothers will, and I'm not going to say all, but there is a group that is out to get you, and they will play the game to get what they're getting.
That's our job.
Hold on.
And they win every time.
Not only do they win, they marry and get involved deeply, and then all of a sudden you find out he is on the couch.
We're collectors. We're going to do that by nature. We're hunter-gatherers. We're
There are women that just follow their intuition. And they have to be more wise about how they hear things, what things sound like, because I don't care what nobody's saying. I'm confident to say this. You can't get things past me.
Hey, baby, you can't cuss on air, baby.
I know. I'm sorry. You can't get things past me because I trust my intuition. I have that gut feeling. I can hear it in your voice. Once you get to that part of yourself and you trust that part of yourself, that won't happen. And that's the thing, too, Diva. You have to trust your intuitions. If something don't feel right, doesn't sound right, just trust that gut feeling. Because I
think
there's some people, there's some guys that are so obvious, and women be with them, and I just be looking like, this guy was so obvious, you didn't see it? What was you blinded by? Because she didn't follow her intuitions, or she was caught up with something superficial or something shallow. And you have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest with yourself.
Having a accurate intuition and a psyche requires having a real understanding of the self. Many people have that intuition. The problem is they're unconscious brain, subconscious actually, is not programmed accurately. For example, if I could have an intuition when I was 18, certain things I did then were wrong. Today I know much better because I've learned either through research or schooling or elders sitting with me. So we have to be careful with intuition.
No, I don't have to be careful with my intuition because I understand that aspect and I know what it all means when I feel things. So that's just me. I am another. You know,
I have a male friend that I've been platonic friend for over 10 years. When we first met, there was chemistry and attraction. But there were certain things I saw about him, certain things that he was doing that I picked on that I knew not to get involved with. Yet I'm watching other women throw themselves at him, and they're asking me, well, why you guys were never together? He can't understand why we never ended up in a relationship, why he ended up in a friendship column. And I have to tell him, there are certain things about you that other people think you're this wonderful, great man, and this prominent man. There's about you that I don't like, that I see, that I don't get on with, and that's why we're not together.
Have you told
hold
him
on,
those
hold
are,
on, hold on, hold on.
Hey,
hold on, Mike. Hold on. Yeah, Bianchi.
I didn't know I was in the basement, but, you know, people that marry because of chemical attractions, their relationship usually end up in the explosion.
That's true.
But there's no doubt, and all attractions, all physical attractions are chemical and spiritual. Because there's a hormone that is released when you get together with somebody,
pheromones.
And there's also pheromones, but it's not just pheromones. There's another hormone. There's another substance that if you get involved physically
BEA?
With somebody, I can't think what it's called. But you're right. It's
an amphetamine.
It hooks you just like a drug. You get hooked on a person. That's why it's so dangerous. A woman is not to give herself to a man until she's ready to be there. Because guess what? When you leave that little part of you, that little part of you doesn't go nowhere. It stays there.
That's true.
And it has to be broken.
That's true.
And
soul tie.
And when you tie up like that, the man a lot of times.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because we only have about five minutes.
I got you.
Tell me this. What's going on right now with the sexual revolution of America when everybody is stuck up in a tie?
Well, once again, everybody's stuck up in a tie because you have a spirit that is driving people toward mishmashing everything together.
Where
with
does relationship go with this? Because right now, everybody is in a tie knot.
This is worse than the 60s and 70s ever was right now because nothing is really built on having a love relationship. All it's built on is having a physical gratification relationship. Everybody is driven to climax. That's what's going on. You have this huge, we're just going to get it. Man with man, women with women, man and a woman,
so,
whatever it is, we're going to get it.
So where are we going with this? Because, I mean, seriously, I mean, if we're all angry, we're all upset, we're all messed up, we're all tied up. Yes, South Carolina.
Hey Tracy, like in the 60s, you know, hey, women wind up losing in that. I mean, if you want to play the sexual game, women wind up losing. I mean, you know, they do.
But are women?
Really
no. So let me ask you this: are women losing or are men losing?
Both
because
women.
I think.
Well, I think everybody's losing.
Women are losing.
I think everybody's losing.
I think one thing that's important is a respect that's been lost. There's a lot of respect lost, and I can tell you that homes are going to be ruined because of it. Let me give you an example. Like, for instance, at the beginning of the show, I told you I'm remodeling my bathroom. A lot of this stuff that I do a lot of do-it-yourself stuff around the house. If I didn't have a supportive woman behind me to drive me to want to make things better in the household and make sure that I work with my kids more closely, you know, with homework or their sports or whatever, I have a very good woman behind me that supports me even if I do a bad job. And I'll get better because she knows she's going to support me. That support has been lost. That trust has been lost. And society as a whole is going to suffer because what Jeff said, it is about the immediate climax, not what's ahead in the road.
But that's not true, people. Here's why. Indian culture was based on sex, sex, and more sex. Look at their ancient texts. The Egyptians were freaky deaky. Greeks were freaky deaky. The Romans were. No culture was brought down by people having excessive sex. What brings down cultures is other issues. I don't see sex as the problem. I see not taking care of our children as the problem. But if
I
people want to sleep with a mosquito...
But here's
that's
the thing.
Not the issue.
Hold on, South Carolina. Hold on, because go ahead, Eric.
Hold on,
because you'll be able to come up in a minute.
I see, frankly, and not to interrupt, sir, but I see the promiscuity as being a manifestation of pluralistic thinking and the relaxation of traditional moral structures that brought this nation to prominence. Now, I'm going to give you two theologians now. D. James Kennedy said it best, the late D. James Kennedy. The feminist movement did not free women, it freed men. The Reverend Dr. Francis Schaeffer, arguably one of the more relevant Calvinistic theologians of our age, maybe next to Machen, but he said it best that this kind of thing is the standardization of this amorality is no different than what has led to the downfall of every major one of the nearly 30 major civilizations and empires that have ever been on the planet. So, yeah, you want to talk Egypt and you want to talk about the glory of the Indian Empire, ancient China. They've all slipped into obsolescence. Where are those empires now?
It had nothing to do with sex.
Well, hell, if you stick around for 12 or 15.
Hold on, we got to get over this whole sex thing, people. We got to focus on real issues. Do I care if somebody sleeps with a chihuahua or a mosquito?
That's not what he said.
No.
That's not what he said. That's not what he was saying. What he was saying. Hold on. That's not what he said. What he said was the free, when we talk about what people do, but if you look at what the promiscuity, right now everybody is doing everything with everybody all at the same time, and it is causing a problem in our society.
And it causes a familial problem in your society, and it destroys it.
He made a point. Defend himself about Egypt, Greece. Tell us a point where the sex in Egypt, Greece, or Rome caused them to fall. Back your case.
I said the promiscuity was a manifestation of a relaxation of the moral structure.
And not only that, the doggone crazy types of sex did bring that country straight down. It brought Rome down. It brought Greece down. It brought your Indian culture down as well, because it was sex without rules. And whenever you have sex without rules, you have mass pandemonium, and you have a destruction of your whole structure of your society. It always does the same thing. And there's nothing wrong with sex. We're not trying to indict sex. We're saying that when you misuse it, because it is something that has to be used very, very carefully. This is not something you can just willy-nilly have and do, because it has too much to do with our survival.
It's a religious perspective, and I appreciate that,
anytime you have a relationship with anyone, and you actually become you are unfaithful to your relationship, it causes problems.
But I didn't say unfaithful. You all are assuming monogamy as opposed to polygamy, et cetera.
Okay, how about responsibility to that relationship?
That's a valid point. You have to be responsible.
Responsibility to that relationship.
You've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. We're done for the day. Didn't get to Putin. We didn't get to Russia. We didn't get.
I guess you didn't get to the end of the show either.
Oh, okay. It was cut, maybe.
Sir, I want to ask you a question while I still got you here. I was talking about the respect and families and such, and you came back and said, well, you know, in India and Egypt and all these countries, you know, they may have the appearance of a happy-go-lucky society. I'm pretty sure that if you lived in that society, you'd see a lot of tyrannical control where people are not happy in their relationships there. They simply have to be there.
But the tyrannical control is not a part of the sexual control. Egyptian culture lasted for over 3,000 years. Indian culture is older than American culture. Greek culture and Roman culture outlasted our culture. I just don't see the correlation.
Well, you're saying outlasted. I'm talking about quality. You're talking about quantity. I want quality. I want everybody to be happy in those relationships.
How is America better than Egypt was or Greece was? How?
Well, in Egypt, for thousands of years, the woman had to or face death or stoning, and it's still the same way today. India is the same way. These third world countries,
I never seen any evidence of women being stoned and killed.
In ancient Egypt. No, he's making up from Muslim Egypt.
maybe, but not ancient chemists.
You're
impossible.
Saying that there's no power and control over women. There's Egypt has
no woman. If it was, why would they have women goddesses?
Yeah, I mean, there was to some extent, I think, in many cultures, including Egypt, a level of sexism. My point is not that. My point
is, there was no sexism that I ever seen.
When we look at the way that, for example, King Tut's wife, right, she had to try and find another male because King Tut died, and then I to take over. Why should I take over just because he was a male priest? Woman could be a high priest. So in honesty, all cultures had issues. None was perfect. But I don't think that we can look at excessive sex unless it's irresponsible as the problem, because then what we're saying is each of us, I know for many of us, when we were young, we were buck wild. So we didn't, destroy the world. It was the adults destroying the world, the politicians, et cetera,
Well, the people that were going buck wild are now in control of Congress.
May I add something? You see, we have to get back to metaphysics and understanding things on a higher level. Conversation is also sex, and we don't think about it that way. So if you can have sex in your relationship, but you two can't have a conversation together, that's bullcrap, because that's not balanced. When you have a conversation, it flows. Someone listens, someone talks. Sometimes you have a conversation with somebody, you finish their sentences together. Same thing with sex. Sex has to be wet. It has to flow. It has to be balanced. And that's how people come together during that moment. It's the same thing when you have a conversation. The key to anything in life is conversation. And just like I said too, with the relationship thing, you talked about your wife and your wife. That's great. Setting goals together, because the sex is a part of the relationship, but it doesn't become everything, because you two can just sit with one another and enjoy that time together, and you won't need to have that type of intimacy to love one another. But what's going on is, with the way society is now, how are people going to even understand or even know having that kind of relationship because of what's going on now? Because we have a whole bunch of hurt people that are getting into other relationships and being selfish and doing what they want to do, and this is why it's so much of this broken stuff that's going on. People don't get in relationships for anything. Like, it's turned into a thing, like, people are saying love is the law and family is business. Well, your family is your business, but what's going on now is it's about money, it's about this, it's about what I can get from you. It's not what we can build together.
Well, people today get married for the wrong reason. You should do background checks on those who you're going to marry. But getting back to the saying about Kemet had all these discrepancies, well, it probably did so. But as I said before, you have women who were goddesses. Ursa Maat, Raisa, Tepenra, Ramesh, Meri, Amun built a huge temple for his wife down in Abu Simbel, Nefertari. And you see evidence of the Queen T was the first female Secretary of State, not Condoleezza Rice. You had Tetosaurus, who started the Roar of Liberation against the Hitsko, who was the grandmother of Akhmosis. So, and even look at the Kandakis, how for many, many years, thousands of years, they fought off the spread of Islam. 600,000 years, they fought off the spread of Islam into Kush. They fought off Alexander with the spread of Greek ideology, and they fought off Augustus with the spread of Christianity.
Yeah, I'm by the way, not suggesting that Kemet was a terrible place 100%. I'm only saying that if we look at each ancient culture and determine what worked for them, and then in 2014 AD say, okay, well, what can we learn from the Greeks? What did they do wrong? All right, they did a lot wrong, but they had a few positives also. What did the great Egyptians do, the Nubians, the people in India, the Australians, that we as a society could benefit? I see sex excessive sex the same way excessive wanting rims, the same way excessive drinking, meaning I see them as challenges, but they're not the cause. Why are people trying to have so much sex, so much drinking, so many rims? They're the problem. Excessive sex is just an outlet. I don't also agree with the sister that sex has to be about communication. There's times when I have sex with my mate when I do the work and I let her relax. There are times where she does the work and I kick back and what's going down. There are times when there are different positions where you do more work if you look into sexual positions. But there are times when you mutually supply love and caressing to each other. So, you know, I think it depends on the type of sex you're doing.
Nobody's
and
brought up the Doblon tribe, where the women have many husbands during their life because it's considered great magic to poison your husband and kill him.
Oh, no.
There's that out there, too.
I never heard it. Yeah, Ramatu had like 80 children, so he had a lot of wives. Nothing
Listen,
wrong with that.
I got to get going, guys. I just want to – the one thing, that it just – I understand what you're saying. Here's what I'm saying, and I was kind of saying, well, I was being told that I was wrong, and I don't understand how I'm wrong when I say that respect in a relationship between a man and a woman, when you're married, I don't see how that's a bad thing. I don't see how it doesn't improve things. I do see, however, living a life of promiscuity. And going out and doing whatever you wish with whoever you wish adds to the problem. And I think we've been seeing. I don't see where I'm wrong there, but I gotta get going.
I agree with you on that, Matt.
By the way, I wasn't saying
he's
that
wrong
he was
on that
wrong.
Either.
There were two points to his comment. I never said he was wrong on the first one. I felt he was wrong on the second. I think he lumped my point to cover both. Of course, respect is important in a relationship. I would be insane to claim otherwise. But, of course, there are also booty calls, and I've gone away from thinking booty calls are from the devil into thinking if people can do it and everybody agrees and the other mate agrees, if there's one, handle your business, put on a Jimmy hat.
You know, that's in America.
Even if you have two people who agree that that's the type of relationship they want to be in, you can't tell me that it's been perfect and there has not been issues awry, because I don't care what anybody say, our nature jealousy arises. Even if you look at Cody Brown and his four sister wives, when you hear them in their confessionals, each of them say, oh, it's a great situation we picked, but they do have issues of jealousy. They do have issues in that plural relationship. So to say that, so when Matt said that people doing whatever they want and having sex with her, you are going to have issues, you're going to have problems. There are consequences to that.
But Diva, why would you have issue of jealousy? Jealousy is the lowest standard
you
have.
Because it's natural
basically,
to
wait, let me just finish. Because when you're jealous, you're basically saying to yourself, I'm jealous because I'm afraid that you will find better than
yeah,
the other person.
That's natural.
No, I'm not jealous.
No,
zero.
No,
she, no.
But,
no
wait,
I am.
Okay,
wait,
so
wait,
if you
wait,
have,
wait, Diva, I am not jealous. No, I am not jealous at all of my partner at all.
Can't
I don't
say
have
you're
time.
Jealous of your
I don't,
partner.
I don't have time or energy to waste that
Stanley,
energy.
I'm not
jealous.
Saying you're jealous of your partner, but what I'm saying is sometimes when you think you're getting into something and a situation is good, later down the road, issues do arise. Now, these women got into that relationship and they thought that there were no reason for them to be jealous because they've never experienced that emotion. Now they're finding out that, yes, there is some jealousy. They're all jealous of the last wife because she's younger, she's prettier.
But you shouldn't be. Jealous
and then the first one,
you shouldn't
didn't
be.
Have any more
you shouldn't
kids,
be.
And she's
you
popping out
be.
All these babies. You're right.
But
it's sin because it's something you got into, but the fact is, it's a natural emotion.
No, it's not. It's not a natural thing.
It is a natural
I've never
emotion.
Been, I'm sorry. I've went out with a lot of women, and I've never been jealous. I've never been jealous. I've never been possessive. I don't waste time with that energy. I've made a thing in my life from the beginning. It's like, those two energy, I will not waste my time on do. If you decide as a woman to do something to try to get me jealous, you'll be the first one, and I'll be laughing at you. Think, what are you trying to do? Basically, you're trying
no
to
one
provoke
is saying
me.
That somebody is purposely trying to get you jealous, and no one is saying that you're
but it won't
get,
work. It will not
I've
work.
Never been jealous of a guy that I dated either, but I do understand that there are – I'm not going to deny the fact that there are people who have that issue.
Of course, and that's
and
a waste of energy.
And it's in a rivalry situation, you may feel an emotion that you're not comfortable with.
No, I don't. I don't.
I'm not saying you, Stanley. I'm not.
She's speaking in general, and I understand.
Yeah,
what
but in general, we should tell in general to people who are jealous to go fix themselves because you shouldn't be jealous. Period.
Yeah, listen,
we should tell people who are possessive, go fix yourself because you shouldn't be possessive to somebody. You don't own another human being. You own to yourself. That's it.
Yeah, but see, this is the thing, too. First of all, I learned something. If two people have to say, this is what we're doing, we're going to have this and we're going to do this, it's already going to fall apart. It never fails. When someone say, okay, this is the agreement, this is what we're going to do together, it falls apart. I'm talking in as far as a sexual relation. It never works out. And jealousy, that's just my opinion. I'm going to just leave it there.
Well, sister, if your point is valid then that means that marriages will fall apart because supposedly...
No. I'm not talking about marriages. I'm talking about people.
I know you're not, but I'm showing you how your logic, if we're being consistent...
No. Listen, I know what I'm saying. I'm talking about in response to booty calls. I'm talking about that energy, booty calls and all that kind of stuff. And when people have to say, oh, this is what we're doing, this and what, it never fails when they say, yeah, this is just a friendship, we're just going to have sex, this and that. It never fails that it falls apart.
Exactly.
No, I'm sorry.
It's
I've met
difference.
Some people.
Hold on. It's
that
difference.
I'm sorry. If you meet two people who are mature with their emotion and don't get jealous, it could work. Because I've met some people
Listen,
who have
talk,
that
I'm
open
sure
relationship
people,
who
Stanley,
don't have.
But it's nature that one person is going to catch feelings.
No. I've met people
that's
who
it.
Both
you
people
have
said no.
People.
No, I've been Diva.
The only time
not
you're gonna, the only time you're not, not is if you have robots.
No,
only
it has nothing to do with robots. It has nothing to do with robots. You, okay. There's one thing I've learned very early in my life. You control your emotion. If you want to have bad emotion in your life, you choose to. You make that choice every day.
Are you serious, Stanley?
No, it's not about good. It's not about good.
If someone is crying because somebody hurt you, you chose to be hurt.
Yeah, but wait. Somebody hurt you and everything is depending on the perception that you have. You could say to somebody that, oh, this happened, that hurt me, and another person could see the same thing that you would see. There's an opportunity.
She's talking about molestation, not the...
I'm talking about in general, if another person hurts another person,
psychologically, emotionally hurts another person, even if they have not intended to do it.
But that's why I disagree. Nobody can hurt you.
Okay, I know what's
Nobody can hurt you psychologically without your permission, Diva.
Let me say something with Stanley's saying. I don't know if you all seen the movie Her. She said something interesting. She said to him, she said, you said something that hurt me. And then she said, I thought about it, but I realized that it's not that it hurt me. I told myself that you hurt me. But it, I understand what Stanley's saying. And a lot of people, Stanley sounds like he talks in circles, but I understand where he's going. A lot of people don't understand the responsibility of their own emotions. A lot
Thank
of people
you.
Don't understand the response that the control that they have over themselves. We're taught to believe that something outside of ourselves has so much power above us, and that's not so. We have just as much power as that thing that we're told is above us. That thing that's above us reflects who we are, and this
Thank
is called
you.
Emotional responsibility. Now, I'm not here to go into a woman being raped, molested, whatever. That's a whole other topic. I've talked to you about that privately, Diva. I wouldn't do that on here. But my thing is I get what he's saying because it does go to emotional maturity. Because, yes, like I said, two people can have a relationship together and it could be sexual and they can end up being together. It doesn't mean that it will never work. And there's some people that it will never work if they try to have a sexual relationship because they just it's not going to work. So
two people get into an argument. The man comes out and say, you bitch. You mean to tell me that woman... If she gets upset,
that man decided to call you a bitch. Now you have two choices.
Let me, in a moment, get control of myself and not get upset because my man just...
Diva, you have total control to decide how you're going to react to that.
Let me answer her because I'm a woman and I'm
having the emotion of being hurt and disrespected.
You have total control of that.
Hold on, Stanley. Wait, Diva.
All right.
I am a woman. that is not offended by that word, my man don't call me bitch anymore because he realizes that that word empowers me because I have a little smirk on my face when he does it. It doesn't affect me is what I'm saying.
Thank you.
Because
that's why y'all should do background checks before you marry somebody.
Yeah, but if I'm not going to let a word, he can call me slut hole, he can call me whatever he want to call me, because I know that I'm not that. I'm not any of that. So
okay,
wait.
No type of emotion whatsoever. When he
can I say something too?
About emotion, not reactions. Now, if I went off and slap him, that's on me that I couldn't control myself in that way. But for someone to be hurt, and you're saying, wait a minute, you are hurt. That's your fault that you got hurt or got offended.
No.
That doesn't make any sense.
What is she saying, Diva, is somebody tells you anything in this world, wrong or right, you make the final decision of what you want to do with it, no matter what happens.
Again, I'm saying reaction is completely different than emotion.
It's yourself. Whatever you think about, you could think.
Hold on. Let me ask you something. Why would that offend you?
Yeah.
Why would my man?
Right, hold on. No. I'm gonna ask you a question. If he calls you a bitch, why is that so offensive?
If a man is called, if my man was to call me a bitch, he's trying to demean me. He's being vulgar. He's disrespecting me. That's why. That's the same as you calling me a nigger.
Hold on. Let me say something. Okay, you said that you're having an argument with him. He calls you a bitch. He's trying to demean you. That's what he's trying to do. Therefore, you know that's what he's trying to do. Why give him that power? It's no
thank you.
If I'm talking
Let me ask y'all a question. I can have the emotion having a reaction to what he is saying. That's what I'm trying to differentiate between. Are you talking about the reaction to it, or are you talking about the emotion? Because I can have the emotion without having the reaction.
Let me ask y'all a question. So what's going on between that white husband when he's calling his black wife an N while they're having a sex?
Well, you know, that's karma.
That never happened to me. No. You might end up with one testicle or something. That will never happen to me. Never.
But why, Diva? Why would she end up with it one
Let me respond to that. Do you know that a high percentage of those times, those black women that be in a relationship with those white men, they experience that anyway? Those white men are saying nigger to them or niggers being said around them.
I've read newspaper articles.
Had a white guy call me a black something something, or call me a nigger, anything. Nor do they even speak the word in nigger.
Lay down.
Well,
never.
Folks, in terms of the B word, the bitch word, I've been in relationships where the women were acting like bitches, and I'm pretty frank, and I said it. Quite frankly, you're acting like a bitch right now.
That's
now, if it was up to them to get angry, or they could say, well, what do you mean? Give me more info. Usually they just got angry and the relationship was over. I don't think words, nigger, bitch, fuck you, this, that, necessarily should get us extremely angry, because really often behind the word is either a sick person who needs help or a person speaking the truth, but the other motherfucker just won't listen. So when I get pissed and somebody's not listening, I go from eloquence and linguistics.
Oh, can I say something else, too? Also, Diva, you have to take note. Name-calling is also a distraction in the conversation, because you can be having a conversation about something like, why did you come home at 1 in the morning? Him calling you bitch, slut, hoe, it will distract you from what the conversation is. So you have to learn how to be logical. And also from just getting into conversations, let's say me and Stanley's talking, and he's talking and he's talking, and I'm making a point, and he continues to call me an idiot the whole time I'm talking, or he continues to say idiot. I'm not going to pay attention to him saying idiot. I'm going to pay attention to what he's saying. You understand what I'm saying? See, a lot of women, you got to remember, what do they always say? We're quote-unquote emotional creatures. So men play off of that.
Learn from my failed marriage what to do and not to do in an argument. Name calling is something that we don't do, but I understand. But what I'm trying to get on, trying to understand this, Stanley is saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you have no right to have a negative emotion because of something that someone does.
Yes, you
I,
make
I,
that choice.
Has
wait,
what
I'm saying,
let
me defend myself. What I'm saying is you make the choice to decide when somebody calls me a bitch or anything to decide, is this going to affect me emotionally negatively or positively? That's your choice. Because you could take 10 women, and the 10 women will have different reactions. Some will be very glad you called them a bitch.
Yeah,
the term bad
it's
bitch,
one
you know,
thing
bad
sit there and
whatever,
say
so.
You're acting like a bitch. I can deal. Cause
yeah, you're acting
like
a bitch, and she and other
just
women will look at you
say,
and think, what makes you think that I'm acting
like
a bitch? Here
and fix my meal. Come on now.
Yes,
oh, come on,
and you make the control because Diva, you don't control another human being. All other human beings have the
you're
right.
Right,
to
you don't
you
control
down.
Another human, but you're
no,
saying
you
that
don't, you don't. The only person you can control.
An,
okay,
have an emotion.
It comes back to one word that my mom told me, and I don't remember who said. I think I don't remember who said it. It was one of famous presidents. Nobody can hurt you without your permission, Diva. Nobody has that power.
That's not true.
No,
that
no,
true.
He's right.
That
no,
is
he's
true.
Right.
No. Because
that is true. Nobody has that power. That's what brought.
No, because
Gronzi to being who he is. That's what brought Gronzi
well,
became who
can.
He is. Nobody
that
can
is,
hurt you without
is,
your permission.
Person
true.
Can hurt
meaning,
you
is
what
can,
they say.
If you get involved with a man who has a history of cheating and lying,
yes.
And he turns around and does that to you, then and you feel hurt, then you allow
no.
yourself. Be hurt because
somebody
you
don't
because
they don't love
let's
you
let's
no
think
more.
Your example.
I have no clue
you're
and
going
don't
out with somebody who's cheating
on.
At this.
Sorry,
you're going out
fine.
With somebody who's
hold
cheating,
on,
and you made the choice to stay with that person. You took responsibility to stay with that
exactly.
person.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
Even
sure,
though you knew he was cheating, and
hurt.
You could decide to
hurt.
Not get hurt
and
say, I'm leaving
you.
Well, if you got kids involved, that's the best thing to do.
Hold on, let me say.
You got to look out for the best interest of the children.
Wait a minute, hold on. But since we're going there, let me tell you something I've learned. It's a lot of wisdom I learned. Nothing is hidden from you. You're just not aware of it. And we see that in a lot of people. That's another thing that people don't want to accept. People can't hide their soul. When you pay attention to your intuition and you pay attention in general, people can't hide stuff from you. If it happens that way, that means you're just not aware of it. We get more angry at the things that was in our face, not the things that we didn't see. If our husband was gay and we really didn't see that our husband was gay, we won't be angry about it. We'll get over it. But we'll be angry about the deceit. But if we saw that, just like Janet Jackson or For Color Girl, she saw that her husband was a gay man, she was more angry at herself because of what she saw, and she didn't approach it then. You see, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'm still stuck on Stanley saying that we need to be robots and not having emotions.
No,
no,
it's not
I
being
don't
a robot.
Think
it has
Stanley,
nothing to do with
Stanley's
being a
approach,
robot. It has to
Stanley's
do with you deciding to
robotic.
Decide. Are you going to let? Are you going to react to what happened in the exterior?
Okay,
or
Stanley
minute.
Has a very
I
robotic
what you're saying,
way that
Stanley. If I'm mad, you're right. I can't blame you for me being mad. I get that. I completely get it. If that's what you're saying, then I get it. If you did something and I'm mad, I can't say you made me mad. You're correct. But,
exactly. And if
okay,
you're able
if
to do
saying,
that,
then
you're able to choose. When somebody does something, you're able to see your reaction. Do I want to be mad or do I want to be – or I don't want to be mad?
Okay, but
you
when you say that,
negative.
That sounds
why
really
do you have, like one person said.
You have to
–
hold
you have,
on. You can't just not – listen, this is what she's saying. We're talking to women. We're inner beings. We're human beings. We're going to feel. And I want Steve to understand that. We're going to feel. It's okay to be angry, mad, throw stuff, whatever. But after it's all done, you understand that it's just how you think and your perception of it. You understand that it was a moment and it was an experience and you walk away from it. That's how I can say that to you.
Exactly.
And that's why I was – that's what I want to say. I'm not saying don't feel anything. That's crazy. You need to feel. You need to let – you need to feel it because that's a part of the experience because the experience will teach you and make you more wiser. You
that's
know,
all
Stanley
I'm getting
has,
is
yeah,
that Stanley, Stanley saying that we don't need to feel, we shouldn't be feeling?
Then no, I'm not saying you shouldn't feel. I'm
how we
that
handle
you,
the
I'm
feeling.
I'm saying that the final decision
thing,
of deciding how you're going
to
react is yours. Go ahead.
How
can
we
I tell
deal
you how
with
this,
the feeling?
How this, react, how this relates to the immaturity discussion, but it also relates to the bitch name-calling discussion, is that I think in each business or personal, sexual, platonic relationship, we have to determine, is the person worth the fight? if they are worth, I don't mean a physical fight, I mean, you know, fighting to keep them in the business deal or in the bed with you. If they are, then we look at each other and say, okay, this person has something I'm going to work with them on. It may be a guy that plays too many video games. You don't dump him if he's a good guy. It may be a woman that may not be as intelligent as you, or it may be a man that's not intelligent. Maybe one of you makes more money. We all come to the table with problems, all of us, right? If we just kick each person to the curb, we're never going to have love or a business deal. So if something is that drastic, if I'm married to someone that's a serial killer, and you know, then I may say, hey, wait a minute. But my position in business and sexual relationships is I try to see the common ground and discuss it. And then if it doesn't work, migrate peacefully, lovingly, without throwing blows. And if there are kids involved, if it's a sexual relationship, the kids are the priority. Once you have kids, I think you then have to say, okay, we fucked up. Now, how do we make this work or not work so it doesn't negatively impact the children?
Only everybody could think like that. Because if you have one person who doesn't think like that, it's going to be a
one-way street.
Shitstorm all
around. That's why I laugh when my girlfriend says, you hurt me. And I laugh at her. I can't hurt you. You chose to go there. I can tell you whatever I want to say. You chose to go to say,
this is
oh,
my
he
problem
said that.
With you, Stanley. This is my problem.
Home.
You're blaming her for
yes,
the
I'm blaming her
emotion.
Of a reaction. I'm not blaming her of what I said. She
An emotion is not
me.
A reaction, Stanley.
Yes, she is, because if she chooses to go to feeling hurt, that's her choice. Because she could choose. She could choose. Because
Lord
she chooses that. She chooses that. Because she can make the same choice of deciding not to go there.
So you can say whatever you want to a person, do whatever you want to a person, and if they
and
still have a negative emotion, then it's on them,
whatever you want to
you.
Another person being. That's the total control. You have total control of the final say of what happened in your life. You don't have control.
No, Stanley. That's not called personal emotional responsibility. That's called a person being an ass.
No.
Because
you also have
to take responsibility on your part that you can't
you cannot take responsibility for another human being. The only person who can take responsibility is for yourself.
You're right. However,
you can personally only take
an emotion is not taking responsibility for what you said.
Yes,
and not causing you to take responsibility. It's the fact that she felt something, and you're saying,
"Yes, but
oh, she
feel
nothing
at
all."
Choice.
You
she made
something?
That choice. Well, yeah, she made that choice to feel that way. Perfect example. If I tell you that you're overweight,
Ellie,
I'm sorry.
And I'm not
she
made
to
the
hurt
choice
you.
To feel. So she's supposed to. This
no.
again.
Make
you made
right.
it. Like,
I'm gonna let's go to a concrete example. If I feel concerned about your
that's
weight, and I tell
out.
You, you
that's
need to lose.
That's
on the top out. That's being
asshole.
Honest. That's on the top out. That's being honest. If I'm concerned with your weight. Okay, if I'm concerned about your weight or I'm concerned about something financial and I'm being honest with you with respect and I tell you about those things, am I responsible how you're going to react or how you're going to feel
the
about
fact
it?
Is, why do you feel that's a cop-out for someone being an asshole?
No, no, am I responsible?
Hold on, why do you feel it's your position to speak? So this is where we get into personal responsibility to where everything
because
has
it
to
is
be
my
said.
Responsibility
everything,
of being your partner.
We,
it's my
everything
wait,
doesn't it, have to be and there is a way that you can say
why everything doesn't have to be said? That's why great relationship not working. What do you mean everything doesn't have to be said? I don't agree with that. Why shouldn't you? If you can't tell your partner.
Because if you know your girl is fat, you're not going to come out and say, damn, babe, you fat as hell. You need to get
no,
on the treadmill.
No, but you're not going to tell her, damn, girl,
reaction?
You look good. You're not
going to
do like a lot of guys, damn, girl, you look good when she doesn't, which a lot of guys do.
Right. Hey,
okay, but that's different. We're talking about a guy who is saying that I can say whatever I want, and it's on you if you get an emotion about it. That's your fault. So you're fat. Get on a damn treadmill, and you don't expect her to have an emotion. If she does have an emotion, then that's your fault. You've got that you feel that way.
Can I add something else in here, please? Just two things, okay? Going back to the laws of attraction. If you're in a relationship with anyone, this is both man, woman, whatever, and that person is constantly verbally abusing you or you feel that you're being verbally abused, you have to look inside yourself to why you are attracting it. I'm speaking this from experience because you got people who are in relationships where somebody talks to them any kind of way, they're gonna get on them, and they're not gonna get away with it. And you got people that's like, oh my God, what's wrong? Why is this person talking to me like this? So that's the first thing that needs to be looked at. Another thing, as I was saying to you, is when you get into an argument with a man or something's going on and it's something emotional going on, you have to remain logical and stay on your square and not let other words distract you, because those are the things that he's using to basically lie and to get away from the lies. You understand what I'm saying now?
I get what you're saying. I completely get what you're
That's
saying.
Not always the
Stanley's
case,
saying
though.
Something
not
completely
always.
Different.
No, Stanley, hold on. I have to say this because I'm a woman, you're a man. I'm not trying to separate
well,
it, but
Stanley.
we're both saying the same thing to her, but just in our own
in
kind
a different
of way.
Way.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Because, so I'm just saying that a lot
because
of times with men, I'm speaking from intuition, too, to Diva. A lot of times with men, this is something that is done. They argue, they scream, they call you a bitch. They do anything that they feel will trigger you. Because why? Women are told that they're what? Emotional creatures. So they
That's
play off of that. And since you know that they play off of that, you have to be more wise. You have to be more intelligent. Because
not
see,
all
we're not
men
told,
but
just playing or trying to get
a
rise out of
generalization.
Some
I don't
men
think
actually
can.
Speak out of pure anger. It's not
yeah,
about getting a rise out of you. Some men speak out of pure anger and the hatred towards the female that they're directing such derogatory language at. I'm
okay.
not saying that you need to get a visceral reaction, but what I'm saying is to say that she should not have an emotion about it is egregious, because it leads to the fact that, okay, now that justifies that other person's behavior. And when we get into a society
nope.
where we start justifying another person's behavior, then where do
Mental.
We go? Where do
no,
we end up?
We're not justifying.
Go ahead, Lee.
May I say this? I agree with some of what the sisters are saying and some of what you're saying. But if I'm hearing Stanley talk, he sounds a bit logical but cold-blooded, meaning he's like me in a way. I'm pretty logical, but I'm not cold-blooded, meaning I'm going to build in steps. I'll say to you, hey, do you think this is the case? I'm not going to just come out and say what Stanley seems like he's implying, but I also don't think it's possible that a man saying something to a woman that may seem offensive, the man is trying to pull strings. There are some brothers that may, I think very often, I'm speaking as a man now, I know a lot of men, we get frustrated. The talking doesn't work, the calm, polite talk, the massage doesn't work, the woman is still tripping, say, what the fuck is your problem, damn it? You're acting like a bitch, or something like that. Now, how do most women take that? Oh, why did he say that? Oh, he doesn't love me. And we're here online telling you why we say it, well, those of us that may say it, and women still won't listen. We're still the bad guy. So you can't win. You're damned if you tell them, and you're damned if you don't. So a lot of men just break out, leave, and say, fuck it.
Now, for me, I think that you need to learn to love your significant other in the way that they need to be loved, because you can't love somebody how you want to be loved, because we all love differently. It goes back to the book Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. Like, my love language is quality time. My significant other's love language is acts of service. I had to learn that. I thought, okay, me spending time with him was me showing him that I love him. That's not the case. He doesn't respond to that. So it goes with significant others. If you're sitting here with communication, if you're trying to communicate to her or to him in a way that you would want to be communicated to, that's where you're going to go wrong. You need to actually learn your significant other and learn the communication, learn how to love them in a way that they need to be loved and not in a way that you want to love them.
And I agree with what you're saying. I did read that book. I agree. But I don't agree with your part that I am not responsible for how you feel whatever I say to you. Because there's two walls in your world. There's the outer wall and there's the inner wall. You don't have always control what happens outside of you. You don't. But you always have control of what happened inside of you. You always
That's
do.
That's not true.
Control.
You are purposely trying to hurt someone, or you do something and say something that you know is going to cause a reaction. You
yes.
have to take
and
your
then,
own
And then you make a choice as a woman, do I want to react
that
the same
emotion
way that
or
I've
that reaction
done?
Responsibility
yeah,
goes
and some guys will
family.
Do that. Like, go ahead.
Responsibility goes two ways.
Yeah,
like
responsibility
goes
if
I one know
way.
That I hurt my significant other, we got into an argument last week. Okay, I may not felt that I was wrong at the time, But reflection lets me know that, okay, I said something that made him feel some type of way. So I'm going to apologize. Because
well,
he
felt not really,
some type of way. I'm not
going to
sit there and
that
say,
can well, tell
Evan, that's
easy.
On you that you felt that way, and
wait,
I'm
wait,
right.
That person can, wait, wait, that person can have total control and tell you, I'm not going to let you give you permission to hurt me that way. You have total permission with that.
Okay, that's fine, but not everybody's wired that way. If you're wired that
no,
way...
No, it's not a question of wiring. It's a question
yeah,
of
it is.
To,
yeah, it is wiring.
Am I saying something that's not true?
Yes,
don't
Stanley.
Do you have total yeah. control of yourself? Or do somebody else control your life?
No, you have control of yourself, but first, like I said, responsibility goes both ways.
So
I'm not going to say it was all his fault. I'm not going to say it's all my fault. The fact of the matter is when it comes to a relationship, each person has to acknowledge what they have done wrong, because if
of
you
course.
Always
I agree with
so
that.
I'm in a right, you're in a wrong, and vice versa, you're never going to get anywhere when it comes to communication.
But,
so
but if somebody,
the,
if,
mindset,
if somebody,
if I have the mindset sure. that, okay, I said something to hurt you, and you're hurt, that's on you. That ain't
but
on me. You need to just get over it and deal. What type of relationship are you going to have? You're
because,
not going to have
because if I tell you something, the same thing that you told me that hurt you, another person won't see it that way. Will look at you and see, I'm not going to let you hurt me, and it's going to go behind what you say and say, what do you mean you said that? And
but
not even gonna, it's not going to even flinch.
May I say that if we assume that each of us here knows the baseline and is on the baseline of emotional maturity and intellect, then we make a big assumption. None of us ever arrives at that point. I think it's a constant challenge to learn our mistakes, to learn our children, our mate, our business partners, faults, and improve. It sounds as though some of you, not all, I think Stanley may have the impression that he has arrived at the baseline and he knows it all, and it's up to him to
decide. No, I don't know it all. I just had to work hard on it.
Hold on, let me finish the point because I'm a man, you're a man, I'm trying to tell you what I am hearing. And if somebody tells me what they're hearing in me, I may not agree, but I'm going to listen and say, wow, it's something to reflect on that I'm projecting that to another brother. So as I hear you listen, I'm saying, man, that brother is cold-blooded. I said that earlier. What I'm saying is that maybe your mate may sense it. If I sense it and I'm a dude, right, I'm not defending you totally. You can imagine a female listening to that. They'll be like, oh, this brother doesn't care. So a part of being a man is being strong physically, intellectually, support your mate, but also compassionate, know when to get flowers.
Stanley, are you Caribbean?
Let the woman talk and just shut up. Sometimes I have to say that.
Are you Caribbean, Stanley?
Okay, let it talk. No, I'm Hotep Kenyatta.
Oh, that's not Stanley. So who's the guy?
No, I'm not Stanley. I'm Hotep Kenyatta.
Oh, that's Hotep Kenyatta, the other brother that's talking. Are you Caribbean?
That's Stanley. Which one, me?
Stanley. Oh, the one that was just talking to Diva. The one that was having a discussion with
you. Yeah, I am. Yes, I am.
See, that. Let me tell you something. Now the conversation about to turn somewhere else. Caribbean men especially, I don't know what it is about how y'all are raised, but y'all are very, not Caribbean men, excuse me, Caribbean in general, there's
people.
Something very detached about y'all when y'all are involved with people. And this is why there's a karma where I noticed that a lot of times people will wake up and the man is gone or the woman has completely left the family or some type of disowning and cutting off. And it's something with that with y'all. So when I hear you talk, I don't know what that's about. But a lot of y'all are very detached emotionally.
You sound very detached and not.
That's how they are, though. Both the men and women are like that. There's something about them when they're in relationships, the way they talk to one another, there's something about them that's just very detached. And when someone that's American that dates them will tell you, like, I don't feel that he loves me. I don't feel that she loves me.
So what have I said that gives you that impression so that I can know exactly what you're referring to?
Not
you.
I know what I'm talking about.
Not you.
I know a lot. I've known a lot of Caribbeans, and my husband has a million Caribbean friends, and I'm saying that
Stanley,
it's something.
Not me.
Yes, he's talking to Stanley.
I'm talking to the brother. That's, yeah, yeah. So what I'm saying is,
I'm
kind of very interested in that. There's this detachment and
Stanley, you from the Caribbean?
Yeah, I'm Haitian.
Well, let me say this: I'm from the Caribbean, and I'm not that way. I don't think it's a generalization. I know a lot of men from Bahamas, Jamaica, who don't go all the way extreme like Stanley, but the Caribbean is known for male domination. We are very, very
My father was like it. I'm not like it because I didn't like how he was with my mother. He drove her crazy. So I said, I'm not going to be like that, and I extrapolated myself from that Caribbean mindset. But it's
but
a lot,
But the men are not.
Too.
But can I tell you
but,
something,
no,
too,
let me
about
tell
Caribbean
you the plus.
Men?
Here's the plus. Haiti is the only nation that defeated continually as a black sovereign the white people. For a long time, that's what went on. So with everything, there's an opportunity cost. Haitian people are extremely strong. They're like Jamaican, you know. Bahamas isn't the same way. So
but,
I think
but that's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't find those men to be very masculine men. They're very feminine men in energy. I'm an intuitive empath, and I'm saying a lot of the men from the Caribbean are very feminine, even down
oh,
to the way that they walk.
You.
They're
okay.
not.
Okay.
They're not masculine men to me. They're
oh, okay.
not.
I,
they're not.
You're not
they,
saying it in
I
a negative
that
way.
That's
you
a
mean,
battle. No, no, I'm not saying that. It's not negative
yeah.
or positive. I'm just saying
yeah.
that I think that that's where the true battle is because mm-hmm. they're feminine men. They're not very – the women, especially Jamaican women, and I'm not being – I'm speaking – I know what I'm saying, are very masculine women. They're very – there's something very in their aura that's really strong and manly-like. You don't understand what I'm saying? So it's like I personally feel that Caribbean men are very feminine, even down to the way that they walk. I find the
what?
American man to be more aggressive and masculine, in my opinion. But that's just me.
So how
that's
many Caribbean
me.
Men do you know? I know
so
about 10,000.
I know a lot of Caribbeans. No, most
so
of any of my closest friends are all Caribbean.
Well,
all
my,
I'm in New York City, honey, so I know a lot of Caribbeans.
I think all of you guys
okay.
are New York.
Let me tell you, I'm in New York. I was born in the Caribbean. I work with Caribbean men in different projects. I know I've taught Caribbean men and boys and girls. I know at least 10,000 on my
oh,
Facebook,
sure.
et cetera. Let me tell you, the walk, a feminine walk, seems to be a part of the problem. It seems as though you're saying a man is supposed to walk a certain way and carry himself a certain way. And I think if we look at the human body, we notice that a man comes from a woman. We have breasts. There's no milk because during the process of going through becoming an embryo, we lose the ability. We never have a penis
our
at first. It develops later.
Your
so,
breast.
Hold on. Let me go into what I'm
in
saying. Have you ever
it's
noticed that Americans? Hold
way.
On, real quick. Have you ever noticed American women, even if she walks with the switch, there's a bit of a limp. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah,
Americans have
a
way that we walk. There's a limp. There's a little bit of a limp, a little bit of a sway when we all walk. Even the women walk that way. Have you ever noticed
no.
that?
I've noticed that in the black community, but it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, the black community. That's what I'm talking about, in the black community.
Yeah, but I haven't noticed it in all cultures. I'll give you an example. Some of my colleagues that are from another socioeconomic bracket high up there, they don't have that walk. But my friends who come from the socioeconomically challenged communities, they often have that walk. Maybe it's more of an economic thing as opposed to a thing that's genetic. I don't think people are born with a way
black
of walking.
Black women, I see it doesn't matter what the economics is. I notice that there's a little bit of a limp, a little bit of a sway in the way that American black people walk, both men and women.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never seen... Noticed a limp per se, but we call it swag in the hood.
I said sway.
Right, sway, but we call it swag. Swag doesn't necessarily deal with how you dress. It's how you walk, how you carry yourself. That's what we consider swag to be. And it is predominantly in the African-American community, but it's the lower class.
Yes, that's what I find.
But then also, like, the guy that I'm dating, he has the same type of swag because he was affiliated with a lot of African Americans because of the economic culture that he grew up with. So,
yeah.
and women, black women have a certain way they walk. I believe it's because of how our types are. It's just like women will walk differently than men because we are carrying certain things that men don't carry, walk a certain way because they have stuff that they're carrying that we don't carry. I don't think
yeah.
it has to do with feminism or masculinity. I just think it has to do with naturally how we are built.
But and also in the Caribbean, we tend to be very influenced by two islands, by Cuba panned by Jamaica, with Puerto Rico a third, in my opinion. So what happens is I think the Caribbean male walk is highly impacted by Jamaican Rastafarian, as odd as it may sound, movement. Even in, I mean, little islands in the Caribbean, you have people talking like this. Yeah, what's up? They're not even from Jamaica. So when we look at it from a historic context, we start to understand why African Americans have certain, you know, things that way they walk, by Caribbean men, but it has nothing to do with masculinity or ability to represent physically or having a powerful semen count, et cetera, different walks. But even in my Caribbean, in the richer Caribbean community, that walk is different. There's a different walk again, just like I find in African-American communities. There's a slight different walk. And you look at white people, and there's a slight different walk. Not always, of course, but very often.
White people tend to,
I'm talking about
energy-wise. To have
I find
a quicker
Caribbean men, I find Caribbean men, and from my energy-wise, to be very feminine men. There's something very feminine about them to me. And
yeah,
that's why
I think
that's the battle that they
keep
have.
I asking if it's a negative or positive.
It's not about negative or positive. I don't speak in negative,
feminine.
Positive, good or bad.
Okay,
it's energy. Feminine, masculine is just energy.
How does it affect you? In what way does that energy affect you, since you won't say it's good or bad?
No. It doesn't affect me. It's just, I'm just saying that in my, I think that they're very feminine men, and I feel like that's a part of the hang-up to why when they're in a relationship with a woman, that's where the detachment and it's over need to be extra manly and all this stuff comes into play.
Oh, I think I understand. You're saying because you think Caribbean men like women, we then get defensive when a woman stands up to us. That's basically, am I correct?
Yeah, because Caribbean men are very feminine. They're the type of men that, you know, I'm talking about, when I say feminine, I'm talking about the energy. They're the type of men that will come into your home and be like, well, this needs to be clean and this and that. Women do shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, or they complain about, you know, just nag about little stuff.
Oh, okay,
there. Like,
okay, I see what you're getting at.
Like, for example, I saw this joke, and I know it's very true, because my friend was married to a man from Trinidad. You know, it was like, did you give the American guy a burger? He'd be like, thanks, baby, you got me a burger. And the Caribbean guy would be like, oh, I don't want this, I want cooked food. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just this very feminine type of royalty. And don't get me wrong, if you want cooked food, you want cooked food, no big thing. But I'm just saying that it's just something very feminine about the men. That's all I'm saying.
That's not feminine, though. If you say that's feminine, it's really a sexist position
in
reverse.
Let me put this in perspective. A woman's going to look at your kitchen. She's going to look at all this stuff. And then, you know what I'm saying? That's a very feminine thing. There's certain things a man just doesn't care about.
Let me put this in perspective.
Okay. I was watching Real Housewives of Atlanta. The one lady is married to a guy from Jamaica. And the one thing he does is he gets into arguments with females when they dealing with his wife. He has no problem with stepping to a female when it comes to his wife. Now, I know at least African American men and Caucasian men will let the women deal with it themselves.
Yep.
He tends to involve himself in the gossip with the women. Most men, American men, don't do that. So I think that's where she's coming. What we see as feminine, we see men, females do that. They tend to do that stuff. Like, we're so used to female roles, we're so used to gender roles here in America that in our mind it's like, okay, certain things men do, certain things they don't do that is considered female tendencies. And what she's saying is Caribbean men tend to have that, and that's where the battle is coming, because they're supposed to be very masculine and dominant, but their actions, they have female tendencies. They have tendencies to do things what we consider as female. But see, the thing about Peter is, the Caribbean guys, where he grew up, there was nothing wrong with that. There was, because I guess because the women were so strong, the women would hurt another woman. that the men had to protect their women from other women. So he said, like he said, that's he said that's what you Americans think. See, that's your problem. You know, they'll think that. So.
No, I didn't say that's your problem. I just meant that's what it seems as you all may think. It's all our problem because if we get into a relationship and a woman, for example, assumes that I'm soft, she's in awakening because I'm the opposite of that. Just because
I don't think they're assuming you're soft because if from my watching Peter on the show, nothing soft about the brother. There's nothing soft. He ain't no punk. And he's probably the one man who anybody's behind, you know, won't
but
let anybody talk.
But soft has nothing to do with
very
being
masculine.
All masculine.
He has female tendencies because men aren't supposed to be gossipy. Men aren't supposed
that's
to get involved
though.
With women's problems.
I don't. You all are presenting something as though it's factual, and I'm saying that it's not. A man can talk to women. A man can discuss things, if you want to call it gossip. A man can do dishes. A man can do these things.
Yeah,
and
but
can't do is have a baby. That's all.
No,
right.
That's,
see, here in America, we tend to think that that's a little bit abnormal.
Yeah,
no. My father,
before.
My stepdad did things like that. So I understand that. But I'm speaking from a more metaphysical. I'm an intuitive empath. I read energy, and the energy of men from Caribbean is a very feminine energy, a very soft energy, and it doesn't make them weak. I don't know why people want to take feminine to be weak. It doesn't mean that it's weak or good or bad. It's just a very feminine energy that I get from them. I was also a Caribbean man, like I said, from Trinidad before. So it was like, but I can see the difference, you know?
Well, from a metaphysical perspective, how do you determine energy since it's invisible? What tools do you have in place to measure the energy?
Well, I'm an intuitive empath. I just feel energy. I can't explain it. It's just what I feel, and it's my perception. I'm not saying my perception is the be-all, end-all, be-all. This is my perception. This is from the windows of my eyes. This is what I see. So that's all I'm saying. I just think that it's very the men are very feminine. And like I said, there's a karma with men just completely cutting people off and just women waking up and the men are gone, or the men wake up and the women are gone. And I always hear that a lot, more so with those of that culture.
They may have been married to women who influenced them and put them down a lot. It could be that two cultures that never communicated on the issues, the way we are talking here, and I sometimes interpret you, you misinterpret me. So maybe one just quits. That could be it. It may not be necessarily the woman's fault or the man's. Be both equally.
Oh,
you know?
Well, yeah, that's karma. That's why I said karma, you know, with that whole thing with that anyway. Me personally, what I understand about the Caribbean culture, I wouldn't, well, I've been with my man for a long time. I wouldn't really be with no one from the Caribbean. I get along with the, you know, people from the Caribbean culture, but me personally, I wouldn't do it. And
I wouldn't either.
The reason why, and I'm going to tell you the reason why, just real quick, because I know how their perception is about American blacks in America, and I know how they are about their family and the way that they are, and I just wouldn't want to deal with that. That's just me personally.
How different is that from a white person who says, I wouldn't let black folks work for me, or I wouldn't let my kids date black people? It sounds as though really Lynch concepts are pervasive.
Date a Caribbean because I don't think our personalities would mesh. So I wouldn't date anybody who my personality does not mesh with. So it's whether they're Caribbean, African American, white,
no,
Asian,
but that's not, you're
whatever.
Justifying it now. But earlier you said Caribbean, and so did the other sister. That's why I made the comment that our people are in trouble.
Well,
because
what
they
I
can't
understand,
come to the table.
From what I understand, with
I would
culture,
date you, Hotep. I wouldn't date Stanley, because Stanley comes off as completely cold-hearted.
No, I'm going to answer him. The reason why I'm saying it is because I see how the culture is towards American blacks. Don't get me wrong. I can get along with the Caribbean. Most of the time, they think I'm one of their family anyway. That's not a big deal. My thing is, for my choice, I wouldn't go there because I see how they are towards American blacks, and I just wouldn't want to involve myself in that. I just wouldn't. And just how you said somebody white, the same thing. I wouldn't want my children involved in something like that. My brother's dating a white girl, and he had an experience where somebody in the family called him a nigger. But he didn't leave her. He still stayed in a relationship. But that was very heartbreaking for my mother to even hear it, and especially my father. But that was his choice. You know what I'm saying? Me personally, I just wouldn't do it.
How do you think Caribbean men treat African-American women?
It depends on the woman. I mean, I'm going to tell you straight up, if I was with a Caribbean man, I would get treated well. I'm not worried about that. And that's just me. Boy.
Mm. I wasn't aware all my years in America of this conversation, the theme. I had no idea. I'm glad that you all broke it down to me, because now it helps to understand, I think, a lot more of my interactions with African-American women who may tend to give drama, and I'm trying to figure out what's the drama over. Now, this may help me to understand it. I come to the table assuming, for better or worse, that we may have feminine energy, that we may be, you know, this is a big education for me. It's amazing. I appreciate this.
Yeah, it's a cultural thing, too. When I see how hard people from other cultures go and they speak against Black Americans and all that, and I just wouldn't want to deal with all that. I just wouldn't want to deal with it.
Mm. So you feel like most Caribbean men will put down the African-American man and woman?
Oh, yeah, because a lot of Caribbeans don't understand the African-American experience. They don't. I just have to call it what it is. The way they can understand is if they talk to someone like me who's intelligent and that can actually have a conversation with them and build with them for them to understand something. Other than that, no. Other than that, totally ignorant to the experience. Unless they're in somewhere like the South somewhere. Because they're also faced with the racism and the separatism or whatever. But as far as up north in New York and stuff, oh, please, it's another story.
So is it possible that African Americans, some, may also have the problem, meaning they may think that, oh, these Caribbeans don't understand this. And on the flip side, is it possible that you all don't understand the Caribbean experience, or are you saying that you all are the ones that have experienced the whatever?
Here's what I see. It's all systematic. It's a reason that all the immigrants are sent to New York City, because New York City is a melting pot. If you were sent to where I was from, Stanford, North Carolina, or any places like that where it's literally black, white, and everything else is Mexican, you will really get a hardcore experience of America and that type of racism and that separatism that goes on. New York City is such a melting pot of cultures. People don't see the racism that's in their face. And this is why a lot of the black Americans in New York City, I feel bad for them, because they don't see it. And a lot of times New York has this, like, caste system of who's above this and who's above that. You have the projects right here, and you have people that live in the houses right across the street from the projects that believe they're better than the people in the projects, but they're in the projects too, because they're right across the street from the projects. They're in the same neighborhood. They don't see the – you understand what I'm saying? This is the type of madness that goes on in New York City that I see from someone from where I'm from and the perception. And that's my perception of it. That's why it's like that.
Yeah,
because even the black Americans don't even see the racism. I hear black Americans that will say, I don't want to work there because there's a bunch of Jamaicans there. I don't want to work there because of this and that. That's crazy. That's sad too. That's sad.
Well,
you think
are.
I don't give a fuck? I don't care if it's a whole bunch of Chinese. And I've done this before. If I want a job, I'm going to go get that job, whether I get it or not. I'm going to go up in there and apply for that job.
There are some Caribbean folks who do put down African Americans. There are some African Americans who also, for different reasons, put down Caribbean people. The bigger challenge is, how do we come to the table and say, what are our strengths and weaknesses, and how do we, whether we're married or just, you know, trying to help the community?
Well, we have to realize that we are all black people. We have to first get out the separate mindset. Do you really believe that this Caucasian here, and I hate to bring things to black and white, I really do, but if you really believe that the Caucasian here sees you different than me, you're crazy.
I don't think I haven't found in my experience that because I have Irish and Italian in my family, and some of my family members are white. I think it's always a color or a